Good morning, Council. If you grab your seat, Ms. Thomas. I think we've got a quorum. I think I saw Mr. Narvaez. Okay, he's right there. All right, good. I will call the Dallas City Council meeting for Wednesday, March 27, 2019, to order. Welcome one and all. We will begin with our invocation, followed by Pledge of Allegiance, led by Ms. Gates and a friend. Our invocator this morning is Reverend Anelda Crawford from the Pleasant Mound United Methodist Church, who's in District 5. I will say that she also said that she lived in Mr. Felder's district in Buckner Terrace, so she represents two council districts. She's an ordained elder in the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. She's a native of Dallasite who attended Roosevelt. She received her Bachelor's of Arts in Sociology and Psychology from Dallas Baptist University and a Master's of Divinity from Perkins at SMU. She's been a senior pastor at the church for 11 years, and it is the eighth large oldest church in Dallas County, founded in 1842 in the Pleasant Grove area. God bless you for that. She previously worked at Delta Airlines for 23 years and has been a social worker for Dallas County Welfare, which is now Dallas County Health and Human Services, Wichita Falls State Hospital, Hope Cottage Children's Bureau, and she's married to Wesley Crawford, also a native Dallasite, a great citizen, and helps our city grow spiritually. Thank you so much for being here, Reverend, and the microphone's yours. All rise.
Mayor Rollins and the Dallas City Council members, citizens of Dallas, Texas, it is my honor to serve our city this day. Divine Creator, Maker of heaven and earth, we come this morning asking for centered minds and focused hearts on the business of our city. We ask for assurance that we dedicate ourselves to work together, have peace of mind, remembering that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Give us harmony, generosity, and everlasting light to lead our city in the 21st century and beyond. Bless all who are gathered here this day. Bless these proceedings. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. You want to introduce your guest? Ms. Gates? Do you want to? Okay.
Yes, we have some special guests in the audience today from Christ, third graders from Christ the King that come annually to see work government in progress. So I want to welcome all of them and their teachers, and thank you guys for being great citizens of our city. And enjoy the morning. They're going to be here till 10, and then I think they're going to do some touring. And when I got to speak with them before, I asked them how much they thought it cost us to run the city. And Miles got the closest. He got closest to us. Our over $3 billion budget, and he guessed $3 billion. So he got to come down here and lead the Pledge of Allegiance with us. So thank you guys, and thank you for being so well behaved. You guys are awesome guests every single year.
Thank you. I am biased, but class, you have the best third grade teacher in all of Dallas, Ms. Schrepfer. Okay? She's great. Also, one other announcement, if you would like to join the council today, and Ms. Grayson and myself, downstairs in the lobby, we will be kicking off April, which is Dallas Arts Month, and we have a fabulous agenda for the month, and it is remarkable how this has grown and become one of the most important months in the year for the city of Dallas. With that, we will take our open microphone speaker. Excuse me, I'm Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I apologize.
I just want to look at this.
Want to put a shout out to my good friend, Reverend Anelda Crawford, for coming down. Not only is she a spiritual leader, but she's a community leader and a good friend of mine. And just really appreciate everything that she does for Southeast Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. TC, this is really just a quick comment for you. This past Monday, we had a near tragedy where one of our elementary school children was hit by a car in front of Forest Lane Academy. And the Crossing Guard program now under the City of Dallas has made a lot of strides. But in this particular circumstance, this was a situation where we found out a need for a crossing guard. And in less than 24 hours, Sharita Johnson, John Fortune, your staff came together and has a crossing guard at that intersection. And the entire Richardson Independent School District, Forest Lane Academy, and all are saying thank you. And so I wanted to add my thank you for the quick action, the responsive action, the professional action of your staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGew. With that, now we'll take over microphone speakers.
Thank you, and good morning. Your first five registered speakers will be Serrano Keith Valdeo, Peter Johnson, Bill Hoyt, Cora Kennedy, and Sonia Blue. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Rollins only. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Serrano Keith Baldeo.
You got it. Go ahead, Mr. Baldeo.
I wanted to show this before I start speaking.
We can see this.
My name is Serrano Keith Baldeo, and I live in the 10th District. My Facebook is SIRRANO 2019. I'm the president of Dallas Pulse News. In short, I cover political corruption in government for 12 years. I published a newspaper in Paterson, New Jersey. When the council members misused their powers, I argued before an independent judge and filed criminal charges and successfully charged 7 council members with official misconduct. I then hit them with 12 council members with anti-corruption federal suit, which I currently have against them. Seeing the same thing in Dallas and the worsening conditions in District 10, I decided to run for office myself to deal with it. But I have been disenfranchised. It appears that Mr. McGew has been running around campaigning with a city official. It appears that Adam McGrew, here in February 19th, at the membership promotional club for candidates, he brought in a city employee, Michael Blair, and he was announced as a city employee. And a red flag went up in my head. On the 20th, at the GOP headquarters, again, he brought in a city employee, and I confronted him this time, and I said, it's not right for you to be here because you are a city employee and this is a political campaign. But Mr. Blair refused to leave. It didn't end there. This is Sam Merton, a former employee. He's the CEO of The Bridge, a 501c3, contracted with the city of Dallas. And he's sitting in as a campaign debate for Mr. McGew. And here's Kathy Stewart. She also gets money from the city through the PID, and she's here in his political campaign. This gentleman also here is doing the same thing. His name is Brian. This is a short version of this. I just want to show it up. So I filed ethics charges against Brian, and I filed ethics charges against Michael for that with the city. As far as Mr. McGew is concerned, I also filed criminal charges against him for misusing his office for political gain. The status right now is that he's under criminal investigation. If it was a black councilman, I believe he would have already been arrested. They were quick to grab Councilman Fielder in a simple altercation, but not Mr. McGew, where that crime is more serious. This election is supposed to be fair. No incumbent should ever get the chance to use a city employee, city connections, and city contracts to cheat a win. I'm calling Mr. McGood to resign. If you know me, this is only going to get worse. I don't let officials' abuse go away. There are agencies, the Bar Association, and the federal laws. I have 12 years I've fought public corruption as a publisher, and I've been honest, and I worked hard for this position. So I'm asking him to resign, and I'm asking the Dallas Police Department to do their job.
Time's up.
Thank you.
Peter Johnson.
Good morning. Hey, Mr. Mayor, how you doing this morning?
Good to see you.
Distinguished members of the Dallas City Council, I am honored to stand here one more time and try to make a case for the people Christ called the least of these. I hope that you received the letter and the documentation that I sent you regarding this issue. It's a simple issue. February 2017, the city made a deal with a small African-American company to do some railroad demolition work in the Oak Cliff community. They informed the company that they needed to work done immediately and that they would have a contract for them at the end of the week that Friday, but could they get started immediately? The company got started the same day, done the work, completed it, never got paid. The city employees that we've met with, thanks to Mr. Scott Griggs, did not deny that the work was done. What the city employees say to me and to this company was, well, you know, they didn't have a contract. We don't have to pay them. It is unfair to do this to small African-American companies. This is a man and his sons. They've been doing this railroad work for more than 30-some years. Over the last 20 years, they've helped me take African-American ex-offenders coming out of TDC, put them to work, and train them how to operate heavy-duty equipment, forklifts, front-end loaders, bulldozers. I have a commitment to reduce the recidivism rate of people going back to the penitentiary from this county. We have a large, over 70% go back to TDC from this county. I'm asking the city to do the right thing, and the right thing is pay this company for doing the work they've done. The work they've done, according to city employees, was done on time, satisfactory, but they did not have a contract because the city street department never brought them a contract, but they've done the work anyway. In order for them to do the work, they had to have heavy-duty equipment on city property, bulldozers, front-end loaders, forklifts, and trucks. If all this equipment is on city property and nobody stops them, they must have had the deal with the city to do the work. All I'm asking you all is pay these people you owe them. Billy, can you all stand up a minute so they can see you? This is Mr. Billy Ray Heath, who owns this company, who's worked with me to put people to work over 20-some years. His sons is here somewhere, but I don't know what else to say to you all other than pay these people the money you owe them. That's unfair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Johnson, thank you for coming down. We know you're...
I wore a suit.
I see. You look very nice.
You know how much I hate to dress up.
You represent District 3 very well today. Mr. Johnson, thank you for all your service. You know, we've been friends a long time. In regard to this issue, Magic, if you would, see Mr. Johnson, and so we can see what we can do on this situation.
But please, it is unfair to do this to small people who can't fight for themselves.
That's why I'm having an assistant manager, assistant city manager, to meet with you and this gentleman about this current situation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Mayor, good to see you.
You're looking good today, Peter.
Good to see you.
Bill Hoyt, not present. Cora Kennedy, not present. Sonia Blue, not present. Stephen Lube.
Good morning. My name is Steve Lube, and I live at 8607 Bumgarten Drive. I'm in District 7, Kevin Fields District. I came down here and spoke in November of last year. I've had some issues with having my house burglarized and not getting really much of a response from the detective with the police department. I have been burglarized again 3 times this year, January, February, and March, just a couple weeks ago. And I have even spoke with the major of the subdivision on the March 18th, and he said he would look into the matter and get back with me. I've yet to hear from him, and I have made 4 phone calls and left him 4 messages. And it really comes down to is my property's being stolen, and I'd like to try to recover it. And another hang-up with the matter is I have actual pictures of some of my property in someone's garage, and I'm told, well, there's not anything we can do about it. I believe there is, and it's just a matter of what can we do about it. I can prove the property is mine. In one of the last burglaries, they decided to steal a box of china that I had inherited from my great aunt, and it's made from 1897 to 1910 from Rosenthal in Schleb, Germany, and they took box 2 of 3. So now I have half a set of china. There's really no value in that. So this isn't property they're going to go sell. This is property they're obviously keeping for themselves. So all I'm asking is what can we do to get some response or and some reasonable outcome to this, because really I don't have a whole lot left after everything I inherited, and I don't think that's right. And I know who's doing it, and yet the detective has never spoken with them, and they even found a place that was selling my material or my property through Lucas Antique Malls and gave that information to the detective, the name, the owner of the shop, and the phone number, and he's never spoken with him. And I know as a secondhand retailer in the state of Texas, you have to have contact information for everything you purchase of a name, address, and phone number. And why can't we call and get that information just to see who has this person bought it from? But anyway, I'm just trying to get some movement in finding out and getting my property back.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
Mr. Lube, thank you. You're one of my constituents, and I'm very disturbed to hear this. And so is Lizette Rivera around, please? She's going to speak with you, and then I'd like to speak with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Terry Altman.
Good morning. My name is Terry Altman. I am the founder of Rebirth Empowerment Education. We, in collaboration with the South Central Carpenters Association and the Beck Group, are in the process of implementing a youth bill program in Dallas County as a featured poverty alleviation program serving opportunity youth ages 16 to 24, and we're seeking the support of the City of Dallas. The youth bill program provides a great opportunity to build a workforce needed in the construction industry and community outreach to an underrepresented and diverse population. We have identified 14 zip codes in the southern Dallas area. Within those zip codes, 8 are known as the Cradle to Prison Pipeline. Moreover, among the youth within the targeted area, the poverty rate is 31.2%. The unemployment rate is 20%. The first youth bill program started in 1978 in New York City in a neighborhood in East Harlem. Since that time, youth bill has grown to 250 controlled programs in 80 programs in 250 cities and 80 programs in 21 other countries. In the state of Texas, youth bill programs are operated in Houston, Austin, Fort Worth, Brownsville, and San Antonio has 2 programs. Since 1994, Over 165 youth across 21 countries have participated in Youth Build. The students have built over 33,000 affordable homes, and they have logged 49.5 million community service hours. The Youth Build program is recognized by the Department of Labor as a pre-apprenticeship program. The participants in the program will receive training in academic setting and earn a GED, an industry recognizable credential in the construction industry, leadership development, and community service projects. In addition, Youth Build pre-apprenticeship apprentices will receive hands-on experiences building an affordable home in their community for a low-income family or the homeless population. Graduates of the Youth Build program will have an opportunity to have direct entry into a registered apprenticeship program, secure a high-wage job, launch their own enterprise, or continue education at a university. The potential impact of supporting workforce readiness and development programs like Youth Build in the Dallas community are increased trained, skilled, credentialed workforce, increased pathway to post-secondary education for low-income youth, increased affordable housing units in the city of Dallas, reduced recidivism of youth ages 16 to 24, increased number of youth engaged in the workforce, and productive citizens for the city of Dallas. Youth Build empowers youth to stand firmly together, creating an opportunity, creating a critical mass of change agents to lead a longer-term revitalization efforts required to bring about a healthy, thriving community. And we are seeking your support.
Thank you for your work in the city of Dallas. Thank you.
This concludes your beginning of the meeting. Speakers, we'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the February 27, 2019 City Council meeting with a correction to the record vote on agenda item 19. The details of that correction has been provided to you. Thank you, Councilmember Grayson, for catching that.
MVP. All right, do we have a motion? Do we have a motion to second? Any discussions or further edits, Ms. Grayson? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We'll now move to your consent agenda. There has been a change. Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 43 and addendum consent agenda item 1. Agenda item 26 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Agenda item 27 is being pulled by Councilmember Kingston, Atkins, and Grayson and will be held until the afternoon. Agenda item 28 was just corrected on the addendum. Agenda item 30 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 25, 29, 28 and 29, 31 through 43, and addendum consent agenda item 1.
Do we have a motion? A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 26. Authorize a 12-month transit service funding agreement between Dallas Area Rapid Transit, Downtown Dallas, Inc., and the City of Dallas to provide subsidized on-demand transit for users within the downtown area, not to exceed $360,000. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
I think I'll look for a motion from Mr. Callahan.
And move approval.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I thought this should have been briefed in Mobility Committee before it showed up on our consent agenda. This is a big change to how we're providing the service downtown. And even though we had some brief discussion on changing the D-Link service at Mobility some months back, we weren't briefed on these changes. So I just would like to see this go back to Mobility so that we have an opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had covered my note up, and Mayor, I'd like to change my motion, if I may. I'd like to move to remand this item to the Mobility Solutions Infrastructure and Sustainability Committee. We've got other work that needs to be done. We're just not finished with this item, so Lee Kleinman is agreeable with that. So we're going to go ahead and send that back with the will of the majority.
I second. So you accept that?
Yes, I said.
Okay, well, you can take that motion up. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Callahan, do you want to say something? Okay, thank you.
Agenda item 30, authorize supplemental agreement number 4 to extend the service contract with Southern Dallas Link, Inc. to continue to administer the senior medical transportation program by providing transportation services to medical appointments within the city limits for low to moderate income seniors for the period May 1st, 2019 through September 30th, 2019, not to exceed $25,000. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
Mr. Thomas.
Move approval.
Thank you. Mrs. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I pulled this item in order to say what a good job that I think Jessica Galishaw and her staff has done with this. The council directed staff some time ago to make sure that the city was providing transportation services only to those seniors who couldn't get them from some other sources. And they have done an excellent job of moving the seniors who need this service into the correct agency to provide this service. And I just wanted to say thank you to staff for following our direction and doing such a good job with this.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to follow Councilmember Grayson on this. Jessica and Nadia and Councilmember Clayton and those others who are on the Human and Social Needs Committee, they know the journey. They remember this path when you tried on several occasions to meet with DART. And then once you finally met with DART, how receptive you said they were to taking on some of these responsibilities. So Councilmember Grayson put this out a while back, and you accepted the challenge, and you did a great job. And this particular vendor has done an excellent job providing transportation for seniors and others who need transportation to work. And so I expect them to continue to do that and do an exceptional job at it. So kudos to you, Jessica and Nadia. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
I'd like to say the same thing, because our seniors are our most vulnerable citizens, and they need to be taken care of in the golden years of their life. And so I appreciate that. I had my grandmother until she was 99, and I would hope that all of us that have loved ones and elderly ones would appreciate this and support this particular project. So I certainly do. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to our items for individual consideration. Agenda item 44, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we have full council and individual appointments. Nominees for full council appointment to the Dallas Area Partnership to End and Prevent Homelessness Local Government Corporation, Casey E. Thomas II, is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Ethics Advisory Commission, Roberto Cañas is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings and Councilmember Gates. Nominees for individual appointment. To the Board of Adjustment, Judy Pollock is being nominated by Councilmember Arnold. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Lee Douglas G. Johnson is being nominated by Councilmember Arnold. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Amanda Rochelle Johnson is being nominated by Councilmember Arnold. To the South Dallas Fair Park Opportunity Fund Board, Miriam Matthews Field is being nominated by Councilmember Felder. Ms. Matthews Fields meets the nonprofit management and operations special qualification. And Mr. Darren F. Babcock is being nominated by Councilmember McGew. Mr. Babcock meets the actively involved in South Dallas Fair Park community special qualification.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Do we have a second? Motion and second. Discussion. Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to say, Mayor and Ms. Gates, what a terrific appointment Mr. Cañas is to our Ethics Advisory Commission. Thank you guys for recommending him.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Thank you. I also just want to piggyback. I'm extremely excited, and as my pastor would say, peacock proud. I think I've heard that before. But to have my nominations finally get through the process. So we look forward to great leadership. We know we lost one of our strong individuals representing our district with Mr. With our previous zoning commissioner. But thank you all for supporting, and we just appreciate you giving me a chance to at least show my excitement behind having those spots filled. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 45. Authorize an agreement to contribute right-of-way funds between the City of Dallas and the Texas Department of Transportation for the purpose of acquiring right-of-way and relocating or adjusting utilities at the intersection of Grand Avenue, Gaston Avenue, and Garland Road in the amount of $106,428.50. We do have five individuals who have signed up to speak on the item. When I call your name, will you please come forward and have a seat at the, in the front area. Robert Gallagher, Elizabeth Blackburn, Melanie Van Landingham, Brad Grist, and John Bontifer. Individuals will be given 3 minutes to speak. We'll begin with Richard Gallagher.
If you'll just grab stanchion there and undo it so they can sit down there. Thanks, guys.
Richard Gallagher.
Yes, I'm sorry about the confusion. I was told to deliver my copies there. Okay, I'm Richard Gallagher. I live at 5630 Gaston Avenue. That's on the intersection of Gaston and Huntley. All right, we moved there about 11 years ago, and we were not technically in Juniors Heights Historic District, but the boundary ran down our rear alley. And so we chose to have ourselves annexed into the Historic District because we liked and wanted to be part of that urban community and the spirit that we saw there. Prior to that, so that's about 11 years ago. 10 years before that, we're about 2 miles off of 3G. And before that, for 10 years, we lived about a half a mile from 3G and two blocks off of Gaston. So Gaston is part of our home in Dallas. All right. I'm speaking on behalf of the Juniors Heights Historic District. I've been a council member for almost a decade. Previously, the district was in opposition to option number two, but we're now encouraged to think that our voices have been heard and that TxDOT has under review the so-called Kingston-Clayton Compromise Plan, and that action was started by a request from the city. All right. We understand that the work has been initiated by TxDOT, but it is not complete. Inasmuch as the city's mobility, stability, infrastructure, and sustainability canceled its meeting on Monday 2 days ago, we today ask the council to table this resolution that's presently before it to permit time for the committee to complete its work, and thus we can conduct an informed and intelligent analysis of this critical issue that affects all of East Dallas. In addition to Juniors Heights Historic District, all other old East Dallas neighborhood associations stand opposed to option two, which was presented to its citizens by TxDOT basically as a done deal. We don't think it's a done deal, and there's still work to be done. So we're encouraged and ask for the leadership of this council to allow additional time to complete the work necessary to perform an intelligent decision. And this leadership shown by the council will go a long way to ensure continued neighborhood involvement in the issues that are integral to a quality urban lifestyle, which we urge you to give MSIS the time that it needs to properly do its job. And we thank you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Blackburn.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Blackburn. I live at 6629 Gaston Avenue, Dallas, 75214. I'm in District 9 and within walking distance of this project. Thank you for allowing me to speak today about the redesign of this intersection. I would like to request that this agenda item be tabled until the Mobility Solutions, Infrastructure, and Sustainability Committee has the opportunity to review the proposed plan. The MSIS committee meeting to consider this agenda item was scheduled for Monday, March 25th. The meeting was postponed, and therefore this item has not yet been considered by the committee, and no recommendation has been made by the committee. The city, led by members of this council, has requested that TxDOT prepare minor modifications to the current plan that respond to the concerns of our neighborhoods, while also allowing this important project to move forward on schedule. TxDOT has begun this work as requested by the city, but has not yet completed it or provided it to the Mobility Committee. When these adjustments are complete and can be reviewed by the committee, they may indicate different requirements for right-of-way acquisition and utility adjustments, and the vote to provide funding at this time is premature. Because TxDOT has not provided the city with the requested plan modifications, and because the MSIS committee has not yet considered this issue, this council does not have all of the information necessary to make a decision today regarding funding for this project. Again, I would request that you table this agenda item until the MSIS committee is able to make a recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melanie Van Landingham.
Good morning. My name is Melanie Van Landingham, 6311 Lakeshore Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75214, District 14. I represent 1,100 residents in Lakewood Heights Neighborhood Association, which is one block from Gaston Avenue. We request that this agenda item be tabled until your mobility committee can have the opportunity to review the proposed modified consensus plan and its community impacts. We have worked very closely for over 2 years with our council member and community partners, who also will be directly impacted by consequences of this intersection design. We respect the wisdom of council members who have asked for minor modifications to the TxDOT plan to appropriately address the impacts of the redesign beyond the intersection. TxDOT stated they did not consider community impacts of their design beyond the small boundary of the intersection, but the design most definitely will have impacts on traffic volumes on Gaston Avenue and East Grand. For instance, Gaston Avenue goes through the very heart and center of six of our old East Dallas neighborhoods, affecting more than 10,000 residents. It's not just a commuter route for us. It is a neighborhood street between our houses, in our front yards, along our sidewalks, connecting us to our neighborhood businesses, schools, bike trails, and parks. It provides access to downtown and to Baylor Hospital. Unfortunately, Gaston Avenue already carries more traffic than it safely can, making it one of the most dangerous streets in all of East Dallas, affecting everyday neighborhood safety and quality of life. This intersection also carries half of its traffic and truck route to the East Grand and South Dallas businesses to I-30 and provides an excellent alternate route to downtown. It's planned as the main entrance to Fair Park. This intersection feeds all of these areas, and this design can help support the city's long-term plans and help make the broader community stronger and safer, or the intersection design can make it worse. Well-designed street and intersection design can enliven community and communities, make neighborhoods safer, and bring them together. But ill-conceived street and intersection design can create dangerous consequences that threaten community plans and tear neighborhoods apart. Traffic impact must be understood and time allowed for the city to consider short-term and long-term effects. TxDOT focused on moving high volumes of traffic through the intersection as fast as possible onto Gaston Avenue and pinching off traffic onto East Grand. TxDOT admitted they did not include community impacts in their work, saying that this is the job of the city. The city has proposed minor modifications to the TxDOT plan to balance community concerns, and TxDOT has begun considerations of those modifications but has not yet completed that investigation. We respectfully request that you table this funding consideration until TxDOT can provide input regarding the city's request for modifications and until your mobility committee has had the appropriate time to consider these issues, to develop a fully informed recommendation, and provide council the information it needs for strong budgetary and community decision making. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad Grist.
Esteemed council members, Mr. Mayor, thank you for your consideration on this agenda item. I think it's important to provide a little bit of history on where this project has come from and where this has been. This project started in 2016. There have been five public input meetings hosted by TxDOT, various levels of participation from the from the community surrounding it. Myself and several others have attended each of these five meetings. Through those meetings, the public preferred option two, which was the option selected by TxDOT in 2019. At the final meeting and the two-week period after the meeting, there were roughly 1,000 individual comments made from the community talking about voicing their opinion on this position. Over 60% of those, 600 people, showed that they support this project and showed that they want this project to continue. TxDOT said that they always hear more from people that oppose projects than from people that actually support it. It's just the way things work. So they were very surprised by this outcome as well. So TxDOT hearing the overwhelming support for this project is something they were not used to. It's important to remember that the purpose of these meetings was to determine if there was overwhelming objection to the project. That threshold was not met. Through all of the meetings, it's shown that the community supports this option, and we ask that this option continue on. It's also important to remember that 90% of the cost of this option is going to be borne by people outside of the city of Dallas, North Central Texas Council of Governments, Dallas County, and TxDOT will be covering most of the cost of this project. Those who oppose this project have no statistical basis on this. There's no studies that have been done. Everything that they're saying is based just on their gut feeling and conjecture. So the only statistical support for this was done by TxDOT, and it shows what the community actually prefers. When given the opportunity to show that a majority of people oppose this, through this last meeting in November 2018, the people that opposed failed to do so. We ask that you continue with this project as this is the community preferred option. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Botifer.
Good morning. I've never been here before.
It's okay.
Put that up there.
You might hit a light there. Thanks.
Okay. Well, it's an honor to be up here. I'm my name is John Botifer. I'm a resident of District 910119 Estacado. I have a business I'm taking off right now on 9041 Garland Road. Listening to some of these comments, I the history has been really important. TxDOT really kind of messed up at Garland and Buckner and went ahead and did a project without really consulting the community. In our conversations with them, they really wanted to make good on that and involve the community in this project, starting around 2015 with a series of public meetings. Public meetings that involved two state senators, two state reps, councilmen. I know that we even got parks involved, a lot of people involved. So that this has been nothing but an open and transparent process. Anyone saying that it hasn't been is just uninformed or just hasn't participated till the very end. This is only $100,000, which the city already voted for in the last bond election for $1.1 million to this project. This is the first, allocation of that money. So in a way, it's already been approved by this board. A vote today to continue approval for this is really kind of a vote for the public process that we have all walked down through. It's actually been an interesting process where the city, the state, the county, TxDOT has all worked together with just residents and business owners of the community to come to this project of the option two right here. I heard someone say that there was a compromise proposed. I know in September, before the last meeting in November, we asked TxDOT to talk to us, or TxDOT called some of us leaders in the community to say that there was, by pressure, some compromise that needed to be brought forth. That compromise was essentially what this is right now. A lot of us leaders said, well, okay, we don't really like this island here. It makes it dangerous for pedestrians. We don't like that this makes it straighter because it makes it more speed for Grand and Garland. But in the spirit of what has been sort of a tumultuous process, we went ahead and agreed to it. We were then told by the by TxDOT that the community, the LCRFT, sort of rejected that compromise, drew on it, and decided that they wanted this instead. So a compromise was offered. I think a good portion of us accepted that compromise, even though we didn't like it. They did not. I ask that this community follow what TxDOT has proposed and allocate this money. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This concludes your speakers on this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Clayton.
Move for approval.
The motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Move to remand to MSIS.
Second. Okay. Thank you. We'll take up that item. Any discussion, Mr. Kingston?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. the public process that people have spoken about was a cocked hat from the very beginning. TxDOT ultimately admitted that in the second meeting, they had already decided on the design before any vote of the public had been taken. TxDOT is genius at faking public engagement. They absolutely did a terrible job with this, and unfortunately, our transportation staff has been complicit with that and has ignored massive public outcry over this design. Now, Mr. Clayton and I did come up with an extremely minor amendment that would address some of the concerns about Gaston. Gaston Avenue is on the city's thoroughfare plan as a neighborhood collector with a maximum daily volume of 15,000 cars. As of today, it carries over 18,000 cars, and TxDOT's projections, not ones that we came up with, TxDOT's projections say that option two, the supposed consensus plan, will increase that volume to 29,000 cars. Gaston is already the most dangerous street in East Dallas, and if you ask TxDOT how they did the design, they looked only at the intersection. They will tell you they did not look at upstream impacts on Garland, downstream impacts on Grand, or downstream impacts on Gaston. That's the design standards that they were trying to meet. That's in the project planning documents. So they literally don't care how many people die on Gaston after this thing gets redesigned. That they didn't consider it even a bit. So to say that there was this vaunted public process where everybody was engaged is just laughable. I mean, this was really, really a bad deal. MSIS has not considered it. Staff, unfortunately, has sent a letter supporting a plan that council has never seen, that has literally never been presented to MSIS or to this council. And staff went and supported it, which I believe is a massive overstep of their authority. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a big debate about how staff was going to try to assert the city of Dallas's will in the I-30 design. The new transportation comprehensive plan that's going to come down is supposed to vindicate our ability to represent ourselves before the COG, before TxDOT, before all these other agencies in a way we've never done before. We've always just kind of taken it in a way. And so this sort of just rolling over and supporting TxDOT is massively inconsistent with the policy, Mr. Broadnax, that you supposedly want to follow in the future. This is an inconsistency from management here at the city. At a bare minimum, the Transportation Committee deserves the opportunity to take a good look at this project, weigh in on it, hopefully support the compromise that Mr. Clayton and I agreed to, and it's a very minor amendment. We were told this fall by transportation staff and by TxDOT that they had the plan, they were evaluating it, and that they would give us the data on the traffic analysis for the plan before the November meeting. and they just flat didn't do it. I mean, TxDOT has had multiple instances, the neighbors can attest to this, of meeting with neighbors, meeting with me, meeting with Mr. Rogers, and lying to our faces. And it is really troubling. Mo Berg, who is managing this project, has specifically lied to me about multiple things on this project. And I think the Transportation Committee, the MSIS Committee, needs to examine this independently and try to get to the bottom of what would be the best for all of the downstream users. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a lot of backstory to this project. I do not believe we need to defer this. We need to move this project forward today. When this project happened, I got involved in this 4 years ago, and now we've had two different administrations to say that this intersection needs to be fixed. In our first public meeting, TxDOT, which I was there, TxDOT asked, public, what do you want? One of the biggest things that the public said that they wanted was no free right turn onto Gaston. Single biggest thing they wanted. Second thing that they wanted was the ability to be able to get across that intersection because that's where the trail connects. And there are several other factors. As this project went on, what got this thing stirred up was an anonymous letter that went out that nobody put their name to that said, this is all upstream traffic from Plano trying to cut through our neighborhoods. The plan that is in front of us today is what the public, by nearly 70%, said they wanted. 14 out of the 20 tables said they either wanted this plan or a variation of this plan. Now, there are people that didn't want this. And where Mr. Kingston and I disagree on the outcome, where we did agree is nobody wants to go through a project where people are upset. I have always been under the theory that if you give people the facts as reasonable adults, that even if the answer is no, that people understand where they're coming from. The compromise that was talked about was when we got to about the last 6 weeks, after I spent a year getting eviscerated for standing up for the public process, then it was, well, we want a compromise. TxDOT presented a compromise, and they said no, because they went to say, we want it based on what the second place option was, and anything that doesn't come off of that is unacceptable. Towards the end, when they felt like they weren't going to get there, they drew over what is now the preferred option and said, well, what about this? If we could have gotten to a what about this before the public hearing in November, yes, I could have lived with that because you want to have world peace. We have all been through an experience where people are unhappy and you want to give people to feel in a better place. But we didn't get there. And when we had this public hearing, which supposedly all this outcry, and when the votes came down in the public comments, 600 to 400, the public reaffirmed what the public originally wanted. The public wants an intersection that is safe, that has been needing to be worked on for 30 years, that gives walkability, that takes away a free right turn. Downstream traffic, upstream traffic, the intersection is the project. What we do from a transportation planning side outside of that is what we do, but you can't eliminate 65,000 people from being able to get around the lake because people visually see something and despite what the data says, they still don't like it. So if we went back to committee, then we're basically saying for 4 years of work, for five public meetings, that their voice doesn't matter. And I don't know what's going to come out of something that we haven't already spent years doing. And the reality of it is, too, even if those numbers would have worked, the hard thing is you try to appease people. You know, you feel like Captain Phillips on the ship, and that is not a fun feeling. But at the end of the day, you've got to respect the people who actually show up and participate in the process as well. So I think we move this thing forward and just be done with it, and we'll have a project that people can be proud of, that people will be safe, and that's ultimately what our goal is and what our job is. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'm going to support you, Mr. Clayton. Thank you. You've shown trustworthy leadership, and I know you've worked really hard on this issue, so I will be supporting your motion.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Mr. Clayton, I have a question. I was just looking at the pictures that the gentleman showed us, the two pictures, and you said, I think you just said just now, that the number one issue that people were concerned about is no free right turn onto Gaston?
Correct.
Isn't that picture showing a free right turn onto Gaston?
No, ma'am. There's going to be a stoplight there.
Okay. All right. That was my question. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a record vote. We will vote on Mr. Kingston's motion to remain it back to committee.
Please start voting. 12 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Narvaez and Kingston. Voting against, Councilmembers McGough, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Felder, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins, Councilmember Kleiman absent. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
We'll now take a vote on Mr. Clayton's motion to approve.
Please start voting. 13, all have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McGough, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Felder, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting against, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Narvaez, and Councilmember Kingston. Councilmember Kleiman absent, vote taken. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Item 46.
Agenda item 46 is an ordinance amending Chapter 6, Alcoholic Beverages of the Dallas City Code by amending Section 6-4, 1, providing that the spacing requirements for dealers located near churches, schools, daycare centers, child care facilities, and hospitals do not apply to the West Village area, 2, providing a penalty not to exceed $500, 3, providing a saving clause, 4, providing a severability clause, and 5, providing an effective date. This item was placed on the agenda as a result of a 5-signature memo. The signers are Councilmembers Kingston, Griggs, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Narvaez, and Grayson.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval.
A motion, a second. Discussion?
Yes, just briefly. Y'all, I'm sorry that this is kind of complex, but because of the existing zoning that's in the PD for West Village, this is the way we had to do an alcohol spacing variance. Essentially, we had to amend the actual ordinance itself because the variance doesn't work in this area. The only sensitive user is North Dallas High School, and DISD has no objection to this change. Thanks for your consideration. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. If I could have staff come forward, I totally appreciate if it's just trying to accommodate one area, but I'm just curious why you just couldn't, what is making an amendment to Chapter 6 necessary, and why couldn't you just do a variance for this case? Because and what implications it will have on the rest of Dallas.
Is somebody from staff here? Yeah. I don't see a lot of movement.
Mr. Mayor, could we have the lawyer for the applicant come down? I think he can explain it fairly. You all know Roger, right?
Yeah, he can speak, but I'd sure like to have some staff.
I don't mean to step on Ms. Gates' toes, if that would be
Mr. Albright can come down. Yeah, I know Mr. Albright because he's threatened to sue me personally, so I know him well.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Roger Albright, 3301 Elm. The problem with using the variance is you're only allowed to grant a variance in very limited situations. Basically, you could grant a variance to allow a large grocery store or allow a restaurant with a food and beverage certificate, which is a lower amount of allowed alcohol. You'd be down at 60%. It doesn't fit what we're trying to do. The other two problems you have with variances is it runs with the tenant, not with the land use. So every time there's a change of tenant, you have to apply for a new variance. That process takes a while, and in attempting to do the retail marketing, signing new leases, et cetera.
So go back to that. So this would now usurp that if it was a new tenant, you wouldn't have to get approval?
That's correct.
Well, I can't support that.
Okay. Mr. Swikert, are you here? Mr. Chris, you
here? I mean, this is why the ability to grant the variance, I mean, one, I think most of us on this council do not like ever granting those kind of variances. And one of the ways that I feel comfortable about it is I know who is going to be the tenant. And then I know if the tenant has processes in place to make sure that there won't be underage kids being served alcohol. And now if that goes away, I'm not going to be comfortable granting any variances. So I'm going to have staff come up. Thank you.
And Councilwoman, if I could respond to that, as you'll recall, West Village has been the model for large-scale mixed-use development. We've been there 20 years. And when we did the concept of a shopping center with an apartment complex on...
It's a very successful center. Yeah.
And my point is we are very, very protective of the mix of uses we have and the tenants that go...
I know, but you're not just... This is not just for West Dallas, West Village. This is going to be... This amendment is now going to be for the whole city. Is that correct or not?
Excuse me. Hold on. Guys, just a second.
I'm going to have staff come forward.
Stop. Yeah, sure. We finally have staff. Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's do this right.
I mean, if it's an amendment, that is for all of Chapter 6.
Yeah. Neva Dean, Sustainable Development Construction. What is being asked for is downtown does not have a distance requirement. We amended Chapter 6 to not have it in Deep Ellum. This is just amending it to have it not apply to West Village. So it would still apply in the rest of the city.
Okay. But West Village then can, any of their tenants can, why can't their tenants just currently apply for the variance individually?
They could. Just as they have in your district where they come in.
Right. I have, Inwood Lovers. Village. Inwood Correct. Village has been one that is a mixed use of different types of retail. And when one changes over, they have to come in. If it's Correct. A CVS or a Flower Child or whatever it might be.
Correct. And that's what they would have to do today. This would just say that distance requirement in this area that's a geographic area just no longer has that distance requirement, just like downtown and just like Deep Ellum, because we think the mix of uses there is a good mix, and you wouldn't have to have that distance.
So for the whole center. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I just have one question, because I try to be better and make our city council work better all the time. Why couldn't this have gone through the normal process, Mr. Kingston? Why did it need a five-person signature? Why couldn't we just...
Because every time I ask you to put something on the agenda, you tell me no.
That's not true.
That's 100% true. It's been 100% true for 4 years, sir.
Well, first
of
all,
if you ever agreed to anything I asked you for, I wouldn't take a five-signature memo. I'd be happy to just ask you to put it on the agenda.
You haven't asked me for anything like this in years. Okay?
The Muslim anti-discrimination ordinance that you ultimately voted for, you wouldn't put on the agenda. Sir, that was less than two years ago.
The question that I ask is why couldn't it go through the city process that it's normal so staff can understand it and review it, because they didn't even understand this. Okay? They didn't see
it. They just explained it perfectly, sir.
Excuse me. Mr. Brodnix, speak up. Did you work on this?
Okay. Well, first of all, I did not work on it.
Did your staff work on this?
Well, they obviously interpret the code, and I think Neva and Chris understand that this was not an item that had gone through their processes. And so, again, I think when called upon, they can opine on what we normally do in situations and what zones it applies to. And I think I won't say the hesitation in coming up was because of that, but I think Mrs. Neva needed to come down here to explain it in detail. So. It didn't go through our normal processes because it was a five-star.
Yeah, so I just don't know why it didn't go through our normal process. I'm not taking this personally. I'm talking about how we work as a council, okay? And something like this, to me, should go through our normal process. You know, that's all I was trying to ask. Mr. Arnold.
I would also agree with that position, because I am needing more clarification on the impact on North Dallas. I think it's North Dallas High School. And the response of the district, because I would like to know from them what information was presented to them, and did they understand the proposal. So I am very reluctant to support something of this nature. Thank you.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you. If I could have staff come forward. Typically, if this were a request, like when it went through Deep Ellum, you said we did the same thing for Deep Ellum. How did that happen? What was the process for Deep Ellum?
I think it was a similar process. In Chapter 6, there's not an application to amend Chapter 6. Our department is not the keeper of Chapter 6. But we have helped in the past with making amendments to it.
So we
process the variances for alcohol distance. So that's related to Chapter 6. That's
and do you report to it. Your office report to a committee?
We go to a lot of different committees. So we go to Quality of Life, Mobility Solutions.
Is there a reason why this couldn't have just come through a committee?
It could have.
Okay. I move to remand this back to a committee and have it followed through the normal process that an amendment to Chapter 6 would occur. So if I'll send it back to which one is the most appropriate? I mean, you got every director reports to a committee. I thought, would it be transportation and mobility or not?
Quality of Life, Mr. Broad, next to suggestion.
Okay, remand it back to Quality of Life.
Do we have a second? A motion and a second to remand back to Quality of Life.
The practice of bringing it doesn't go, and you pointed this out, I think, Mayor, it's not going through a fair process. And if we start having precedents that are, you know, groups that we like or attorneys that we like get to just, go through five council members, it's diminishing the, our governance. Structure of having things go through committee and then come up to the full council to be voted.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be in opposition of the remanding because by remanding it, you're taking away this council's process of having a five-signature memo. So in the event that you do go to the mayor and ask for something, I'm not arguing about whether this was asked or not. I'm saying that we have the power as a council. This is the only power the council has to bring something directly to the agenda is the five-signature memo. The other one is you can go to your chair of a committee and ask for it to be put onto a committee. And if that chair says no, then we have a power through memo as well there. So I cannot support sending this back to be remanded because it did go through a normal channel. It went through the channel that is the rules of this council, and a five-signature memo is part of those rules. So I'm not going to be able to support that because I believe that would circumvent one of the normal processes that we have to bring an agenda item to the full council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Neva or Mr. McGee, well, let me ask my question first. Neva, go ahead. Come on up. Or Chris, why don't you go up there in case I'm asking. So if a applicant wants to do this, what is the normal process with if they don't do a five-person signature and send it right here? Just explain that to everybody.
See, with Chapter 6, there isn't a process to amend it where an applicant can come in and pay a fee. Chapter 51A, we have a process in there. There's a fee where anybody in the city can come in and make an application, and we take their application and process it and bring it to y'all. For Chapter 6, there really is not something written in there of how somebody, such as Mr. Albright, can come in and amend that chapter.
So has Chapter 6 ever been amended before? And how was that amended in the past?
Sure. So when we added Deep Ellum to the regulations where the distance doesn't require, I believe it was a memo from a council or a five-member council memo, and I don't remember if we went to a committee. I can go find that out, but I don't remember off the top of my head if we went to a committee with that or not.
So it's only been done once before in the history?
Well, also when we changed the variance to allow the variance to come in and have applicants apply, we did that. I think that was something that came through the attorney's office with our office looking to amend that and have that process where applicants, individual property owners, can come in and ask for the variance to the alcohol.
And how do they do that?
I think it was just our going to a committee. We went to a committee at
okay.
that time. Yes, sir.
This has nothing to do with mayor. Okay, my feelings aren't hurt about this. People do this all the time. Hopefully people would call me and stuff, but that it doesn't have to do with this. It has to do with a process, a committee process that we have, where I think we just talked about that with the Gaston and the 3G situation. There's processes we want to go through, as opposed to just jump to, to start. I think that's what we all want as a council, to get a chance to opine on this stuff. Mr. Narvaez is exactly right. We've got the five-person signature. It is, we can do this and we can vote on it. I'm not sure it's healthiest for our city to do it that way when we want transparency. All of us want transparency. All of us want community discussion, community debate. And I thought we kind of felt that way. So that's the reason I'm a little surprised about it. It doesn't have anything to do with me as mayor. Mr. McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So those are some of the questions I wanted to ask. The other thing, though, is what is the implication of sending this back to committee as far as timeline? How does this implicate the applicant?
I don't know if they have a business that they're wanting to open that's going to be delayed because they are within a certain distance of the school. I'm unaware of that.
Okay. I mean, my issue with this is that we've dealt with TABC and these type of issues for a lot of years, and the proximity to the school has been something that's been a problem. I'm hearing Mr. Kingston say that DISD doesn't have a problem with this one, When I first saw this as going through preparation for this, I had the same, I guess, misunderstanding that Ms. Gates had, that we were changing something greater, and I got to a point of understanding that it was just this area. But I would like to have more time to process through this, so I'll likely be supporting send it back to committee because I just think it's a healthy discussion. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Seems to me that if we don't get a fix on this, we're just going to necessitate action on behalf of the applicant every single time unless we get that. And I think we went through this in Deep Ellum because we recognized that was a, quote, special district. I think also West Village is a special district. And for them to have to pass the bar of responsibility every time to do this, I think is probably unfair and also a waste of time. And I'm looking at this as a commercial real estate guy or from a development standpoint, you know, if you're going to have a district and you know that within that district you're going to have the sale of alcohol like Deep Ellum and like West Village, it just seems to me to be kind of superfluous to continue to come back again and again for the same kind of fixes. And I think that was really the spirit of what Mr. Kingston was trying to do through the attorney, the applicant. And so that's what these five memo things are for. Again, it's very expensive on the development process and the application process to go through these things every single time. So I think the understanding, the spirit of the special zone is to have it made much more a much more simple process. And so from that standpoint, I will not be in favor of the remanding back because I think this – it simply cures a inconsistency or a unintended consequence, in my viewpoint, and I think it would be much better, more streamlined for us to just get that done and go forward. So that's my viewpoint.
Thank you. Let me just make this big. I'm not advocating to not honor five-person memos. I think I'm advocating for now, Mr. Swickett, don't walk away, okay? Because I think you're gonna have to answer a question for me, okay? You said that in this case we don't have a process, right?
Right.
How do we get a process? I assume you want a process as opposed to just kind of us. Because on the merits of it, I can see both sides of the argument. I don't know that. I just think that the city council is better when we have a process. How do we get a process on this?
Mr. Mayor, when we say we don't have a process, we're talking internally within the department, an internal process to amend Chapter 6.
Correct.
We do have a process when an applicant comes in asking for a variance to a distance requirement from that's required by Chapter 6. There is a process within our department for that. the five-member memo that was used in this case is to amend Chapter 6. So that can be done through a five-member memo, through a council committee, or through direction of the city council. There is a process for that.
But she said we don't have a process for that.
Not for a whole area.
Not for a whole area, right?
Correct.
So could we get a process when somebody wants to do a whole area about it needs to go through a committee or it needs to do this or do that? Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think this city council needs to continue to work better and be more transparent. Okay? And not to slow things down, but just have a process. It worries me when we say we don't have a process.
Right. Okay? And it is our standard, whenever we amend chapters of the Dallas City Code, to go before a committee to do that. I mean, we did it with Chapter 20A that we're looking at today. Okay. We did it with, you know, Chapter 27, with Chapter 51A.
Ms. Brodnick, you wanted to add something.
So, Mayor, I think we're confusing zoning processes and administrative just code issues. And I think for this discussion, it's really about whether it's council or city staff who may have an amendment that they want to make for clarification to a specific code that doesn't resolve around zoning. I think we're saying we don't have a process for that. I would say, obviously, council rules are what they are for five sig memos. It might be a suggestion, as in my history, is that if, in fact, there's a zoning and or code-related change that's not really it's a policy, that may start with the five sig memo stating that it needs to go, send it to a committee to discuss so staff can get engaged, do a briefing, and share that with council, but it cannot be held in a committee. It still has to come forward, but at least so that, again, when questions are asked, there's some discussion. That would be just a suggestion as it relates to a process, but I don't want to step in front of council's process on zoning and or other kind of administrative things like that. But we just need to be engaged, and maybe we work with the council members who do the five-stick memos in a more cooperative way beforehand, even if it's not going to a committee. We need to figure out something to get staff.
That's all I'm saying. Yes. Okay, let's just get – all right, who hasn't spoken yet, everybody? Miss Grayson hadn't spoken. She just signed up. So, Mr. Kingston, if you could bounce, so thank you.
I guess my question now is something that Mr. Broadnecks just said, where he said it can't be held in a committee. We hold things in committee all the time, or at least we used to, if we felt like we didn't have enough information to make a really good decision, we would ask staff to do more work, come back to us. I mean, that's just was common. Unfortunately, over the last couple of years, when committees have asked that items be held or have more discussion, they've been moved ahead anyway. So I guess I would like to get a clarification that if a committee says they want to hold something, it is held, because that is the way we always used to do it. That's why you have a committee. You don't have a committee just to discuss it and say, now it's going to move on. You have a committee to say, we've taken this under consideration. We're not there yet. We're going to have staff come back. So it was your statement
no,
that
fine.
Kind
Let
of
me clarify.
Raised my question.
So my clarification and statement was specifically, if a concern about five signature memos not going directly to council for immediate consideration by the entire council was a concern that we'd step in the way of that and somehow someone's request would get lost in a committee where they now have the right to bring it to council, I was only suggesting if that was a concern that then it could only be briefed but then had to come out as if you could already bring it straight to council. I didn't want to do that. I was just saying that as a suggestion, and I would probably need some specifics on examples of where, in fact, staff has moved things out of committee that the council has said at a committee they did not want to be moved out.
Okay,
I can appreciate the discussion.
I've got three examples for you, which I won't go into right now. But what I wanted to also say is I was one of the signees on this five-person memo. I asked a lot of questions before I signed this, and what I learned was that we did this with DeepL, and what I learned is that we don't have a process, and what I learned is that West Village needs this to go forward. I think that we, if you all want to create a process, don't hold this hostage to a months-long process that it's going to take to create a way for the future requests to be handled.
Thank you. That's my biggest concern. Could we have a process like we have with a historic overlay? Isn't there a process on that?
We could create a process.
I mean, I'm not talking about for this. I'm talking about making the council better. Okay, it worries me when, you know, we can just do something this significant and it just doesn't go through anything.
Good God.
I mean, you could come up with an application where somebody comes in with a geographic area and they have to provide certain information that we have something out. It wouldn't preclude council and staff from doing an amendment on your own, but.
Okay. All right. Let's keep talking. Mr. Arnold. Sorry, I asked my question. I'll shut up.
All right, just once again, whether we, and I did second the motion, and if it does not pass, we move to vote. I still cannot support this particular item, mainly because, once again, my concern in terms of getting additional information, I have no comfort in knowing what information was shared with the DISD attorneys. That's number one. Number two, as I am challenged on a regular basis as an elected official to support our school systems and to improve those communities, it would be more comforting for me to be able to look at the data and actually look at some of the history. And even more concerning, as you have mentioned now, the Deep Ellum situation, we are also being pressured to revisit the processes of that district, if you will, in terms of just this whole entertainment district, and as we have just experienced this weekend. So I'm very reluctant to support these types of changes without additional information, and I hope that as we move forward, we would add more meat to this bone so that we will be able to represent our constituency and answer the questions that they pose to us. But I'm very, very, very concerned about moving forward, and I will not support it as it is represented today. Thank you.
Thank you. Second round for Mr. Callahan. Okay, Mr. Atkins hadn't spoken yet, and he just signed up. So, and then we'll go to second rounds and then third rounds with you, Ms. Gates.
Ms. Grayson, can I speak to Ms. Grayson, Mayor?
Yes.
Ms. Grayson, it said that if this goes back to your committee and you signed the fire signal memo as a chair, have you had any conversation with staff about this particular item?
Have I had?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So if it do go back to your committee, it seems like we have a briefing now among all the council members, you know, process. It would seem like everybody trying to say what it should do, what it should not do. And your opinion, just your opinion. If you do go back to committee, what you heard today as a chair, what would you recommend?
What do I think that is my mic?
She's not on. Mr. Kingston, can you put your mic over to her and just let her?
I'll just jump off.
Well, you can come back. Okay. Go ahead.
What do I think Mr. Atkins, the committee, would do? I'm not sure exactly. What I hope the committee would do is go ahead and pass this, and then if they said they wanted to have staff create a process for future requests such as this. I mean, we have a process for an individual owner to come forward. What we don't have is for an area to come forward. And there are very few of those areas in the city that would even be considered for something like this. So I think what might happen at Quality of Life is that we would move West Village forward, but it would be a delay because Mr. Zapata and I have a lot of items coming up on the Quality of Life agenda, and then I think the committee might ask that staff create a process. But we do have a process. We have a five-signature memo process, and I think it applied in this particular instance because there was no other process available to West Village at this point in time.
Right. And I guess if it came back to my committee, Ms. Grayson, I'd probably be on the same page you would be on right now because we do have a process and sometimes that when we talk about an item for 25 or 30 minutes, we talk about the same item and commit it for 25 or 30 minutes and come up with a process and come up with a recommendation. And to me today, that's what we're doing right now. We are discussing, we are briefing on this particular item. We are saying what we think and we're not thinking. And instead of having a 7 people committed or a 9 people committed, we have a 14, 15 people committed right now. And everyone is putting their thought in place. But I think that staff do have some work need to be done. And if we was a committee right now, we would say, hey, we will send this to council for the full council to be briefed on it. But right now, I believe the full council is getting briefed on the item. It feels like we do need a process, and a process say, hey, maybe let's move this forward and go back and come up with a process. I mean, that's what I'm hearing right now, because when we come to the council and with certain items, I got an item come up this afternoon. You know, it was briefing in economic development, and number one, we said, hey, let's go back. But what we did, we went back and talked to all the councilmen and said, what do we think and what do we feel like, how should we go forward? I think that we should never come to council try to brief or discuss an item like we're doing today, but we got to put a process in place so we would not spend 35, 45 minutes briefing on something that it goes back to committee and going to rebrief again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I ask Mr. Kingston in a moment a question, please?
Please. He's back.
Well, first, I think I feel much better about this. I think, to Ms. Grayson's point as chair of the committee, that I don't know if we necessarily need to process up an individual case like this. I do think there's also the concern of not playing chutes and ladders with public policy. But I think in this particular case, I think the five-person memo was probably the right way to do it if we're not going to go, you know, through committee. But, Mr. Kingston, on this particular case, when I first saw it, my only concern was, you know, I think we're all careful about not, you know, influencing kids with alcohol, you know, that close. But I know we have in Deep Elm, you know, we have Uplift and we have some other instances. Is there, I know this is about the variance, but do you have any concerns at all regarding signage or anything that would be towards the front door of kids coming out of school or a daycare? Are there any concerns that you have visually that we're not thinking about?
No.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you for the second round, Mayor. I just feel like there ought to be a simplified process, whereas if you're going to put together a plan development district, or if you're going to put together form zoning, or if you're going to establish a special district, then you ought to have that right there to do it. You shouldn't have to keep going back and getting many fixes. I think we all in this room recognize today that West Village is a special animal, just like around American Airlines Center, just like Deep Elm, and there's other places. Bishop Arts might even be an example of that. But there ought to be the right by a developer to come in and sit down with staff and go through the CPC process, but not every time. What's happened is that we used to have a very simple version of this in the city, wet and dry. Now we've gotten into this D and D1 and this conundrum. So it forces people to come back each time to say that we want to get an alcohol permit. Well, you know, you got to understand that that's the reason they're building and they're opening a restaurant in West Village or Deep Elm, because they want to do that. It kind of goes without saying. So I don't see anything wrong with Mr. Kingston's issue of trying to circumvent this process to speed it along, because with a crowded agenda, quality of life, unnecessary delays, it could be 3 or 4 months before we have a policy put into place to get this done the right way, and that's unfair to all parties considered, especially when I think if we're honest with ourselves, we know what the ultimate answer is going to be, and that's going to be vote for it. So I'm going to vote against remanding, and I'm going to stay in favor of this action because I think it's simply the right thing to do.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The level of fake concern about this is kind of galling. So you all are aware, I was asked by the applicant to do this over 8 months ago. And because of Mr. Broadnax's concerns that he's expressed to me over time about the use of five signature memos, out of respect for him, I attempted to get it to a committee. Guess how that went? Nobody wanted to put it on. I did not ask you, Ms. Grayson. I
wasn't asked as a chair.
I attempted to get to other committees. And
what committee?
What
I'm sorry.
Gates. I'm sure he'll explain which committees.
So, and then I was told if it did get on committee, it would be a 6-month delay because we have reduced the number of committees so much that all of your agendas are now months backed up, months and months and months. The committee process has slowed to a crawl. Now, keep in mind that this is a very simple change.
The idea that this is complex or that staff is confused is quite stupid and false. And Mr. Broadnax, let me encourage you not to make suggestions about changing council rules. I don't appreciate it. This is a process that has been in place for decades. I use it quite effectively. And when you ask me to do something to benefit your staff, I do it. I send it to committee. It didn't happen this time because the committees were too full and nobody would take it. So I'm really tired of hearing process questions. This is the process. I have followed the process. And I got the signature of the chair of the committee to which it should probably have gone. You all are probably, maybe some of you have seen the internet phrase concern trolling. That's what you guys are doing. This is a very simple change. It's one that we've done in Deep Ellum. It's one that we're going to have to do in some other areas, probably in West Dallas eventually. And this is easy. I would appreciate everybody sticking to sincere beliefs rather than fake concern. Thank you.
Well, I am concerned that we have council members that run committees that aren't responsive to other council members. And so I take you at your word that you ask every committee chair to take this up, including mobility, and they didn't do it. Is that correct?
I didn't ask every committee chair. I tried to get it on a committee. When it didn't happen, I asked staff if they had a problem with bringing it straight to council, and they did not have a problem with it.
Okay. Then why?
And I don't know if Mr. Broadnax now has a problem today. That would be a surprise to me.
All right. Ms. Broadnax.
So thank you, Mayor. So I don't have a problem with the process. Don't have a problem with today. The question and suggestion and concern was, particularly with a motion to remand to committee, was that it did not get briefed. Similar to what Councilmember Atkins said today is that we briefed it pretty much at the full council. So, again, I was only articulating a concern if someone wanted a vetting of it and for us to be more involved, not just in this issue, because it's really not about this issue. It was really about, in fact, making sure that at least as staff has not probably been as actively as engaged or if council members don't reach out. As I've said to you on many occasions, hey, is there anything we can do to help you with certain items that you want to get prepared for? You take us up on that. And so I don't have a problem with that. It was just a suggestion. And as the mayor and I were talking, I mentioned to him a similar five-signature memo process that has been under effect in San Antonio requires that certain things don't come directly to council, they go to committees. And I just made that statement to him as we were talking about process. It wasn't a request to change the council's process.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I was not asked to put this on committee. I would have put this on committee. I'll withdraw asking this case to be remanded back, but I do think we should have a process in place that if an area wants to apply for a variance, they can. So that should go to committee for discussion and see if that can be put in place, because I think one of the things, in all transparency, we're not addressing is there's a fee. Is there not correct? Is there a fee if you ask for a variance or not?
For an individual?
Yes, ma'am. What's the fee?
I believe it's $1,200.
Okay, and what is this applicant paying to have the whole area amended without for a variance?
He didn't pay a fee.
Right. So we have how many different Mr. Albright, could you come down and tell me how many different
You only got 20 more seconds.
Well,
Ms.
I'm not talking. I'm waiting for.
No,
big is this area? How many places could be getting a variance?
It's all right. Mr. Albright, just say the number.
Bagwell to get
me. Mr. Bagwell, how many different occupants do you have in your building in the West Village?
The original West Village is 120,000 feet of retail.
Okay,
and
how many?
And we have.
I'm going to cut her off.
We have 12 13 restaurants in West Village.
So we're avoiding that kind of. They're not going to have to pay what's normal variance for that.
Thank you. You're cut off. You've spoken three times, Ms. Arnold.
Well, I would like to have a clarity to her question, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, please. Now that we've got some more time, Mr. Albright, come on back.
Could you answer the question? I need to get clarification on what you said.
How many folks might be applying for this? Use it.
One or two.
Mr. Councilman,
if I may, just to be clear on that, the variance process wouldn't even work for the types of uses we want. They are very limited. It works for a retail store greater than 10,000 feet. It works for a restaurant with a mixed beverage permit with certain food and beverage limits. If we want to, we've already lost one tenant who's going to do this. If we want a small grocery store, less than 10,000 feet, but have beer and wine, we can't do it.
This is Mrs. Arnold's.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. So let me just kind of piggyback on what some of the things have been said. I am a strong proponent of the democratic process. I can appreciate the five-member memo because I may decide to use it on an issue. But we have been elected to engage in dialogue to present the best outcome for our constituents.
So, with saying that, Mayor,
I am still in my same position of not supporting, but I also, sir, if I could, Mayor.
No, I got to cut you off. This is the third time.
Do I have 2 seconds since you're taking my time?
Two.
I want to appreciate Mr. City Manager giving us recommendations. That's the reason we hired him, and I don't want him to be threatened or intimidated.
Thank you.
Because he's doing his job.
Thank you. Ms. Gates, I assume since your committee is government performance, you'll take this up in your committee process. We'll vote on Mr. Kingston's motion as made. Who was the second? Mr. Narvaez was. Okay, good. So let's just go ahead. Since we had a discussion, let's all vote. Mr. Kingston, she took her motion off the table.
Please start voting. 13 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Members McHugh, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Council Members Felder, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Council Members Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting against, Council Members Arnold and Gates. Council Member Kleiman is absent when the motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item 47 is an ordinance amending Chapter 42A, Special Events, and Chapter 29A, Neighborhood Farmers Market of the Dallas City Code by 1, reserving Chapter 29A and rewriting Chapter 42A, 2, providing regulations for special events, commercial filming activities, neighborhood markets, and street-like pole banners, 3, providing a penalty not to exceed $2,000 for a violation of this chapter governing fire safety, zoning, or public health and sanitation, and $500 for all other violations. 4, providing a saving clause. 5, providing a severability clause. And 6, providing an effective date.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, since this came to us last month and we deferred it until today, there has been a lot of discussion and a lot of changes on this special events ordinance. So you should have received what we have in our packet is what was on in February, which is no longer the ordinance that we are considering. You should have all received a copy of the latest draft of the ordinance, which I think is like 68 pages, and a copy of the motion that I'm going to make right now, which contains a lot of those changes. So I'm going to ask that you approve the ordinance with the removal of commercial filming provisions and amendments to regulations on neighborhood markets, the Dallas Farmers Market, and streetlight pole banners. So my motion is to approve the ordinance with the following changes. The commercial filming provisions are removed. The Dallas Farmers Market is redefined to underscore its distinction as a year-round marketplace and incorporates references to the existing contract with the Office of Economic Development. Third point, renaming Dallas Farmers Market Neighborhood Market to Dallas Farmers Market Farmers Market. And that is not a typo. That's what they want to be called, the Dallas Farmers Market Farmers Market. The next one is to reinstate the 1 mile minimum distance between neighborhood markets. A neighborhood market may operate 46 days in a calendar year. No more than 75 vendors may participate in a neighborhood market, except that two of the 46 market days may be designated as holiday or specialty markets where 100 vendors are allowed. The ratio of food to artisan vendors is changed to 30-70 for the Dallas Farmers Market and to 40-60 for neighborhood markets. Maintain the 150-mile radius for product sourcing. PID identification banners are exempt from application processing fees. PID management corporations have the exclusive right to district identification banners in defined geographic areas and have the first right of application renewal for previously permitted poles. PIDs may obtain an annual streetlight pole permit.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
Oh, golly, I'm not going to discuss all
okay.
of this.
All right. Fine.
Those are the changes that have been worked through with the parties that have been most interested in seeing the language reflect what they really need in the ordinance, and that would be the farmer's market, and also the PIDs that, like DFALM and some others that have an interest in these street pole banners.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank two groups of people for these changes. The city staff in special events that worked on making these amendments has taken a lot of input from a lot of people. This has been a heavily worked document. And then when it got almost to us, it still needed a little more love, and it found more love with Ms. Grayson, who did an excellent job at providing the final tweaks, and I'll be very happy to support her motion. I just want to bring one thing to everybody's attention. The people who do neighborhood farmers markets feel that we have been overly restrictive of those operations. I have a concern that this ordinance still may be too restrictive. And if it proves to be, this is one of the fun things about city government, is we have the flexibility and the speed to amend things if they're not working. And so if neighborhood farmers market organizers come back to us and still can't get what they need out of this ordinance, then I'll be supportive of bringing back that piece of it. But in general, to me, it looks really good. And I feel positive about these changes. It particularly provides protection for our neighborhoods that sometimes are overutilized for public events such as foot races, bike races. We had a situation because our previous application process was purely ministerial, meaning that if people checked all the boxes on the application form, we had to give them a special event permit. We had a situation where Swiss Avenue had a foot race on a Saturday and a Sunday and the following Saturday. And, those people were correct to be upset about that. So the staff has listened to that and I think put forward a really robust proposal. And with Ms. Grayson's tweaks, I'm fully on board. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. And I wanted to thank Ms. Grayson. I know we've, in committee, we've gone round and round, and it's taken a lot of work. And I want to thank staff. Rosa, you've been great to with all, because this impacts so many different groups in the city and users, and that it's taken a lot of cooperation, and you've done a lot of listening in this process. And I think it does. It makes us, you know, we have that balance of protecting neighborhoods as well as encouraging, fun festivals and markets and events that I think our Dallas residents really appreciate. So, and I know the Arts District had some concerns, and so I think I'll get back with them directly. I think we've addressed most of those concerns, as well as I know there's, if you're listening out there, concerns about number of ambulances, which isn't really governed. Is that my understanding? It's not governed by this document, but that's governed by a Dallas Fire and Rescue requirement. And I know Rosa is willing to work with them as well to make sure all these events are safe and that they are keeping the participants safe as well as all the attendees. And then the areas surrounding the events when they're taking place. So just thank you, staff. Thank you, Sandy, for, you know, letting everybody be heard in this process and coming up with a really good change. And I think this is, when we have this in place, I think we need to bring it back after a year and quality of life. And I would just make that suggestion and then kind of be able to evaluate how these changes have impacted, make sure we're still having as many fun festivals and activities in the city and as many neighborhood parades. I know we've made it a little bit easier for the local neighborhood. So, but I think we do need to make sure we evaluate it and find out if we need to do any tweaks at that point. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Did you all want me to add that to the motion and say it should come back, or just general direction?
I think the next council will do whatever they want
to
do.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I just wanted to say before we vote that I think this is just really an excellent example of how hard the staff works and meeting and meeting and meeting after meeting with the various parties involved in this so that they can be sure that when they brought it to us, they had addressed everyone's concerns. So I want to say my thanks to them also. They worked really hard on this.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 48 is an ordinance abandoning a portion of an alley, also known as Howland Street, to OR Asset Holdings, LP, the abutting owner, containing approximately 3,588 square feet of land located near the intersection of Howland and Root Streets, and authorizing the quit claim and providing for the dedication of approximately 3,651 square feet of land needed for a wastewater easement.
And Mr. Callahan. For a motion. No, I'll let Mr. Kingston, your vice chair.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move approval of this item. It's been deferred for a number of times, so I think we're ready to move
Thank
forward
you.
On this.
Second. We have Mr. Kingston. And discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. And thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason for holding it was that the applicant did not have a clear development plan. They were very kind to spend some time developing such a plan, so we now know what's going to be there before we abandon the property, which should be the process every time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any discussion, Mr. Callahan? No further discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 2, authorize approval of the City Council of the City of Dallas to act as the applicable elected representative, AER, as identified by Section 147F2E of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, the Code, with respect to approving the issuance of tax-exempt multifamily residential revenue bonds issued by the City of Dallas Housing Finance Corporation in one or more series in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $15 million to Flora Street Loft, LTD, to finance the acquisition and new construction of Flora Street Lofts, a 52-unit multifamily residential development to be located at 2121 Flora Street, following a public hearing held on March 11, 2019, after reasonable public notice, in order to comply with the Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act's public approval requirement of Section 147F of the Code.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion second. Discussion. Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 3, the resolution authorizing an additional retention payment to Christopher J. Caso, interim city attorney, during the time it takes to select a permanent city attorney, payable in 9 equal installments beginning April 1st, 2019 and ending on December 1st, 2019, or until a new city attorney is appointed, not to exceed $90,000.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Motion approved.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? You want to explain anything, Mr. Atkins? Or?
Well, it's just very simply, when Chris first took the interim position, that we did offer him X amount of compensation up until January. So he have been working from January to February without an increase in pay. So it's going to start this April. Is April, is that correct,
yeah,
TC?
April 1.
April 1. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll take item 4 up after lunch because we need to have an executive session about it, and then we'll vote on that first item out. So it is, if we can just all go back to the lunchroom immediately, this should be right back there. It is 11:01 on March 27th. The City Council agenda meeting will go into closed session under Section 551074. Personal matters on the Texas Open Meetings Act regarding addendum item number 4. Thank you. We will meet back here at 1 o'clock. Sorry. Right now. The City Council agenda meeting has completed its closed session under Section 551074. And at 1:05 p.m. on March 27, 2019, we have returned to open session. With that, we will take up item. Where do we leave off, Ms. Johnson?
Item 4.
We'll take that up. Thank you.
Addendum item 4, the resolution appointing Mark S. Swan as city auditor for the City of Dallas for a two-year term effective June 1, 2019, with an annual base salary not to exceed dollar amount not specified.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to read this correctly. I move to support the resolution appointing Mark S. Swan as city auditor for the City of Dallas for a two-year term effective May 1st, 2019, effective May 1st, 2019, with an annual base salary of $190,000.
So we got a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to thank this process. This process required us to set up a committee of professionals to vet candidates. And so I want to take this opportunity to actually, I'm got my paperwork all messed up here, thank those that participated. This is a little bit different than any of the other council appointments that we make. It's in Chapter 2 of our ordinance. It requires that we set up a I don't want to mess anybody's name up, and now I've lost that piece of there it is. We set up a commission. So our commission, the City Auditor Nominating Commission, was chaired by Ann Margolin, a former council member in my seat, actually, who has experience in investment in the private sector, as well as previous chair vice chair of the Government Performance and Financial Management, called the BFA at that time. What was it called at that time? Budget and Finance and Audit. And then also Tim Pike, who's a partner and an audit director of Howard. And then we had former council member Dr. Maxine Thornton Reese, as well as retired founding partner of Travis Wolf, Kenneth Travis, as well as current managing partner of Ernest Young, Michelle Botany. They had the authority or the governance of having to go hire, with the city's help, a search firm, and they did engage in that firm with GOVHR USA, helped them through the process, and they had 180 days to bring us a candidate. They met several times over this period. They were given the search form presented to them, a slate of candidates. They narrowed it down. They interviewed I think they interviewed maybe 9 candidates. I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me. But they interviewed several candidates and then presented us with 3 candidates who we as a city council had the opportunity to interview last week. So with that, I am thrilled that we have a resolution nominating Mr. Swan. Mr. Swan has 34 years of management, auditing, and information systems experience. He has been, for the last 11 years, he has worked for as the chief audit executor for the Metropolitan Government of Nashville and Davidson County. Prior to that, he was in San Antonio, and prior to that, he was in the private sector. He actually had the opportunity 10 years ago, the way public auditors actually evaluate themselves is they have this professional audit review process, and they auditors from other municipalities review, have a peer review system. And he was actually here in 2010 as part of a peer review that looked at our audit office. So he is familiar with the way we operate, and he is really a stellar candidate. So I look forward to welcoming Mr. Swan on May 1st.
Thank you. Ms. Gates, just clarify the 190, because I think some people heard a different number.
She said
190. I said $190,000.
Salary okay. of 190.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was posted. Yeah, that's what I'm recommending.
Okay.
So, I mean, somebody can make an amendment or change that, but that's what I'm putting on the.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask you all colleagues to vote against Ms. Gates' motion so that we can institute a new search. I think we all felt that the search did not generate the quality of candidates that the 9th largest city in the United States should demand for its top internal oversight role. The auditor's office, in the time I've been here, has saved this city millions and millions of dollars in improved efficiencies, improved processes, and rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse. It's council's primary tool to exercise its oversight duty, which is a fiduciary duty, to the citizens of Dallas. Mr. Swan was the only candidate who we even deemed minimally qualified for the role. The other candidates that were presented to us did not appear qualified for the role, which and I would point out that the information provided by the search firm as background for each of the candidates was inconsistent across the candidates and, as it turns out, quite unreliable, as we discovered that one of the candidates had misrepresented his employment history. Now, I had to go find that out. The search firm did not present us with that information, and I think that that is reason to no offense to Mr. Swan, to turn down this motion and go back out to the market. If indeed Mr. Swan is the best auditor in the United States at this moment, he will rise to the top again. But I really think that we need to have another search. This process did not produce an acceptable result. It's happened before. It's not a weird thing to run a new search. We ran 2 searches that ultimately resulted in Craig Kenton, who I think acquitted himself incredibly well during his tenure as the city auditor. So it's not a question of beating ourselves up about not having a good search. It's a question of looking at the outcome of the search, seeing that 2 of the candidates were unqualified and 1 was potentially dishonest, and going back out to market to find the people that we need to make sure that the citizens have the maximum oversight into the operations of their city government, and in particular, how their taxes are spent. So I will be opposing Ms. Gates' motion, and if that fails, I will make a motion to institute a new search. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and I gladly second the
the appointment of Mr. Swan. I think he has all the capability that we need. He's an Abilene Christian graduate. He's got a wealth of experience in oil and gas accounting and private industry, as well as within the public with San Antonio, as well as the Nashville metro area. So I think he's the exact kind of candidate we need. I don't agree with all the challenges that we did have in the search committee, but I think the outcome still is a good one with Mr. Swan. And we're in great need of having a city auditor. It's regretful that just at the end of this week, you know, we're losing our interim auditor, and we've had a great audit team. We want to keep that audit group in place. I think to continue to delay this process doesn't really serve the citizens of Dallas well, and for those reasons, that's why I'm going to go ahead and choose Mr. Swan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I agree with you also, Mr. Swan. And Jennifer, I see you did said the salary would be 190. I thought I heard that it was somewhere between $200,000 on the line. I don't know what consensus was 190 or not. So I would love to put a friend amendment to add $200,000 if you accept a friend amendment for $200,000.
Not add 200, but have a have a salary of $200,000. I'll accept that.
Thank you. And the reason why I say that, you know, we discussed that. I think if you're going to hire a state auditor, he should be paid well. If you're going to be paid well, he's going to do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. I was going to say what Mr. Atkins said, which is I thought our consensus was the higher number.
Well, there was some discussion of how detailed we could discuss. So I'm glad we're having this, making it a very public discussion, and that we're going to put $200,000. I'm sorry I misunderstood that. So since we limited how we can discuss things.
Thank you. Ms. Griggs. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I will not be supporting this. I agree that there were numerous deficiencies with the outside search firm. I'm very concerned about the work done by the outside search firm and the quality of the candidates and the pool that was presented to the Dallas City Council. I'll be opposing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I will support Mr. Swan as well. I believe the urgency is that we go ahead and take care of business and not delay it. So I'm very satisfied with where we are, satisfied with the amendment, and prepared to vote for Mr. Swan as the next city auditor of Dallas.
Thank you. Any other discussion, Ms. Gates?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Regarding the process, we may have had a few bumps, and if we did not have a qualified candidate, absolutely, we would go back and look for a qualified candidate. But we have an extremely qualified candidate. That's probably not the best way to say it. But we have a qualified candidate that meets everything we are looking for. 34 years of experience in management, auditing, and information systems. There is nothing you can say about Mr. Swan that would not make him the best candidate for this position. And we have a candidate. This process took 180 days. I don't think our city needs to be without an auditor for 180 days at this point. So I am I'm more than comfortable. I think we are putting a professional in this position, and I'm going to move and encourage all of you to do what's right for the city of Dallas and support Mr. Swan as our candidate.
Thank you. I will also be supporting Mr. Swan. The city of Nashville and Davidson County is one of the great urban areas in America. He has been with that group since 2007. I always look at resumes and see how someone has progressed in that regards. And I just want to tell you, he went through a tough time when the mayor there had some tough issues, and the auditor was called in to kind of verify what was true and what was not true, and he came out in a fabulous way. It's the type of person we want at our city, always telling the truth. So I'll be supporting that. We will take up Mr. Did you make a motion, Mr. Kingston? You can't. Okay, you're going to do that. So we'll vote, have a record vote on Ms. Gates' motion.
Please start voting. 11 have voted. 13 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McHugh, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Felder, Kleiman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting against, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Kingston, and Councilmember Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Take care of our afternoon items.
We'll now move to your zoning agenda. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Felder would like to be recognized on agenda item 56.
I move to defer this zoning matter until April 24th, 2019.
Have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your zoning consent agenda consisted of agenda items 49 through 52. I'll read those items into the record. Agenda item 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2219 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant without drive-in service on property on the west side of South Buckner Boulevard, south between Syene Road and Bearden Lane. Agenda item 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1357 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the northwest corner of Bruton Road and McCutcheon Lane. Agenda item 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern on property on the northeast side of Market Center Boulevard, southeast of Oaklawn Avenue. Agenda item 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a microbrewery, microdistillery, or winery on property on the northeast corner of Olympus Boulevard and Wharf Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation on any of the consent zoning items that were just read into the record? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah, I'm
second. Moving. Do we have a second? Second. All right, discussion. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I did have some questions for staff regarding how public hearings work. Hi, Ms. Dean. So on public hearings, so in these places where we're granting special use permits for alcohol and other uses, what are the processes for a public hearing and notifying the neighborhoods and things like that?
They're a zoning case, so if an SUP, if it's just one property, it starts at 200 feet notification. It can go up to 500 depending on how large it is. So we do a notification both at Plan Commission and Council. For the public hearings, they have to post a sign in their property, and then we do a newspaper notice.
Right, and then they actually have a public hearing here. So the neighbors are notified that we're going to make some change in the neighborhood, in this case specifically to three alcohol-related items. And they have an opportunity to respond to that, things like that.
Yes, sir.
I was not here earlier this morning, but I know we did an ordinance change relating to the West End. Was there a notification area on that one?
Are we talking about one of these issues?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why people weren't notified that we're dumping all these alcoholic uses right next to their homes in the West End area. West Village.
Yeah, I'm... We've got to make this germane to these items.
Well, I'm just trying to understand the difference between a public notice.
Ms. Gates is going to take that up in her committee meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I wasn't here this morning for another issue, but it just seemed concerning that neighbors didn't have the opportunity to even speak against having all these uses put right next to their home.
Got it. Thank you. Mr. Kingston?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be opposing the zoning consent docket. Frankly, zoning consent is a bad idea. Each zoning case should be considered individually. And in specific, the problem here is the renewal of the specific use permit for a open enrollment charter school. I have been doing as much research as I could into the SUP requirements under state law, and the state law reads that we shall not issue an SUP except where the business meets or the applicant meets four standards, two of which are adding to the health and welfare of the community and not being detrimental to surrounding uses. And it is my opinion that this charter school, because it takes students and money that would otherwise wind up in the ISD out and causes us to have to pay more in taxes for our public education, it is detrimental to the operation of the city and of its school district.
Ms. Felder?
I feel the same way that Councilmember Kingston feels. I believe that we need to, and I would like to make a motion that we separate these items and vote on them individually, because I have an issue with the charter schools as well. So that is my motion.
Motion to take items individually. Any discussion on that? Show of hands. We'll just do record vote. Record vote. Take separate items individually. What's that? Okay. Just you can just pull. You just want to pull that one item. Okay, that's fine. We'll let you pull. Item 50 is pulled. We'll take. We'll still stay on the all these items X 50.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1357 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the northwest corner of Bruton Road and McCutcheon Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 49 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speaker in favor? No speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, this is a fine organization. They've got a number of charter schools. They're probably the most sophisticated and the most seasoned group that we have in Southeast Dallas. They're a fine family that started this organization, and you know, they're a good neighbor. I've only had one complaint of anybody in the neighborhood, you know, regarding any of their parking situation and so forth. But, again, this is a great organization. They're very involved from every level, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Chamber of Commerce, just fine people, you know. And so there's absolutely no reason. This is really a zoning issue. It's what this is. It has nothing to do with an attitude with regard to charter schools or DISD. That's a philosophical discussion for another day. But again, this is just simply a zoning measure, and I wholeheartedly, you know, support their involvement in this neighborhood. And they've moved into this church property, and they've repaired it. They maintain it. Got a great school population there. I've been out there, and I've spoken. I've been in career days and so forth. So again, I'm going to be, you know, happily supporting this item. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Those opposed? We got 4 or 5 opposed. Thank you. Motion is carried. 6. Okay, please, that's fine.
Please start voting. 8 have voted. 11 have voted. 14 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McGue, Arnold, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Kleiman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Callahan and Grayson. Voting no, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Felder, Narvaez, Kingston, Griggs, and Atkins. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
We'll now move to agenda item 53. Item 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Subdistrict 1E within Plan Development District Number 621, the Old Trinity and Design District Special Purpose District, on the southwest corner of Turtle Creek Boulevard in Highline Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 24 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation? Any speakers in favor? We have one speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name for the record.
Name is Jonathan Benson, 2323 Ross Avenue. does it take a minute?
Yeah, go ahead and start talking.
Okay. All right. Well, in any event, I can use this.
AV advice, AV help.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start.
There we go. We got it.
As stated, there's no opposition. We've been working with the community, met with Mr. Narvaez on this. Represent D.D. Dunhill Hotel, LLC, which is, here we go.
We see it.
Developing the Virgin Hotel in the Design District. You can see the location there. We're here. This project is actually underway. We filed for a building permit on the basis of a compliant plan. We've asked for three amendments to enhance the project. One is a reduction in the parking requirement for the hotel to 0.55 spaces per hotel room. Our parking study supports that. You know, with Uber and Lyft, this is a business-oriented hotel with a younger demographic. It's entirely appropriate, and the staff traffic engineer has agreed with us. The second thing we're asking for is to try to save these two large mature live oak trees at the corner of Highline and Turtle Creek. We're doing that by meandering the sidewalk. That's a little bit different than the current PD requirements. So staff agreed with us on that as well. And then finally, the third element that we're asking for that we think enhances the project considerably is a rooftop sign. You can see the rendering there as well as the night rendering. You know, we have voluntarily agreed to limit the size of it. We're providing a 6.5% element that identifies the design district. If you think of, for example, Southside on Lamar, even though that's specific to a project, it's a great identifier for the Cedars neighborhood. We think this adds to a good, exciting urban look. It helps enhance the whole district, kind of adds to the cool factor, if you will, of the hotel. And I've just included some examples for you from other cities that have elevated signs. You'll see it's typically in denser neighborhoods, more urban in character, more interesting mixed-use neighborhoods in character. So we think this is entirely appropriate. The Plan Commission recommended approval of that. So just to sum up, this is a really exciting project. We, again, think that these three relatively minor amendments will enhance the project, and we would respectfully ask that you approve us today. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor?
I would just like to add that Mr. David Carr, the project manager, is here on behalf of ownership, and John DeShazo, who performed our parking and traffic studies. Thank you.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
I'm going to motion a second. Congratulations, Mr. Narvaez. This is I remember when we announced this coming up, it's going to be a great thing for Design District, and it's exciting that our hotel world is expanding over there. We've got options for citizens, so thank you very much. You want to say something else?
Okay. I was about going to say the same thing.
Oh, sorry.
Colleagues, this is really exciting. The Design District is really excited about this project. I was a little hesitant on the sign until they showed what it was actually going to look like. It's going to be very signature looking. Adding the word design or the words Design District really will be a signifier for the area. And when you see it, it's going to kind of be like that, like the old Hollywood sign, just on a much smaller scale that's in Hollywood. So with you have the framing, but the sign really isn't as large as it looks. It's just the framing that's big. The actual words on it are not that large, and everybody in the area is for it. And this will be the only one allowed in the design district. Nobody else gets to do this, and we're really excited about it. All the business owners are excited about it. We didn't have any opposition from folks that came to the meetings, and they did a fantastic job selling this to the neighborhood. And they're doing some other things that are going to help us in the future to enhance the area that we'll be talking about at another time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Can I ask
Mr.
Navarez? Is that sign open or is it solid?
It's open. So if
that's
you have
what
the wood...
I thought. It was hard to tell. It's very unique. How are you going to make sure nobody else comes in and asks for more rooftop signs?
This is the only one we're allowing. They'd have to come for a zoning change in order to do it. So
they're going to
difficult.
Say, you okayed that one, so now you should okay mine. But I'll vote for it.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Agenda item 54 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 45 within Plan Development District Number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, for a public school on property generally bounded by Allen Street, McKinney Avenue, Sneed Street, and Cole Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 289 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 5 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Kingston, for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the recommendation of City Plan Commission.
Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Mr. Kingston.
Y'all, this is the Travis Tagg School, the Gifted Academy for DISD. It's an amazing institution that is turning out some of our best young minds. I don't know to what extent I've actually helped any of them, but I have tried to participate in some of their school projects. I hope that didn't ruin their education, because they're quite bright, and I appreciate DISD engaging in an open and public process with the neighborhood. And making sure that that community concerns were addressed. Traffic is always a problem with DISD schools. It's a problem at every DISD school. But DISD has made significant efforts to mitigate the impacts of traffic at this school. And I was over there the other day, literally when school was letting out, and saw the system work with my own eyes, and it actually does work. There's congestion, but it's not impossible. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And while I would never stand in the way of school opportunities for children, I do, and I will be voting in favor of this item. I did want to point out that this is allowing for portables on the property, and there may actually be some already there. Some municipalities just don't allow the school districts to put portables in. They're just kind of an inferior structure for students' learning experience, and I think the city should really consider that. For our school partners that are in the city of Dallas, that we just don't allow portable buildings. Nevertheless, I will vote in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Could I get the staff to explain the reason for their denial?
Councilmember Arnold, the denial was based on the parking during the construction, the swing space, and then just the overall parking at the end of the day. And we were just concerned that they would be queuing in the street. DISD, I believe, is going to have a way that they take their teachers and have park someplace else during this time. We just wanted to make sure that parking wasn't interfering and traffic wasn't interfering with the neighborhood, and that was really our reason.
Okay, so that's good. And so the other question I have, and I will have moving forward on the traffic management, are those plans including the Dallas police officers in the traffic management plan?
We do not provide them to the police department. They're in,
no,
they're
ma'am.
Part of the ordinance.
Does their plan include using the Dallas police officers as part of their traffic management procedure?
They usually have, they just have school property or school facility or faculty people who may, you know, make sure people are going the right way and parking in the right parking lot.
So I guess my question, because this has been brought up even with charter schools, traffic management plan needs some reform from where we are. So I just want to know, it specifically, is it listed who will take care of the management of the traffic in
the
plan? Is it required? Is it required?
It's the school's responsibility to make sure that they adhere to the traffic management plan.
But my question is, do they name who will be working? One of the schools we dealt with specifically said teachers would be used to as part of the traffic management personnel. So are we required to, are they required, or does our policy require them to identify who will manage property? I simply want to know if the Dallas police officer will be identified as personnel. That's all I'm asking in this case.
I believe it is school personnel.
Okay. So can you give me a copy of that? I just want to know moving forward, because we do have some concerns moving forward with traffic management of some of these schools.
Yes,
and how
I'll
we use our Dallas police officers. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 55 is a public hearing regarding an application for an NSA neighborhood service district with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northeast corner of West Illinois Avenue and Hollywood Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 17 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and two in opposition. Due to denial by the City Plan Commission, this will require a three-quarter vote to approve.
CPC recommends denial without prejudice. Is there any individual in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the denial? Any speaker in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the speakers are here. They're just confused by being opposition to opposition. Okay. So if we could,
if you're actually for the project,
come on down.
Come on down.
Okay.
If you're against the project, come on down. We'll figure out.
Yes. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. And you're for the project.
Yes, I'm for the project.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Agustin Peralta. I'm the property owner. I have hired Carla and Mr. Tony to help me with this process. I do oppose the denial of the staff and the CPC. I do believe it would be a great benefit to the neighborhood and to the community to convert the property into an NS. My intentions are to convert it into a lease for an attorney's office. I do currently work with several attorneys throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex that will be happy to list this property, and it could be a great benefit to the community. Like I mentioned, there is not a law office within the neighborhood. I did meet with the Elmwood Neighborhood Association, and the majority was in favor of my project. So I will let them speak for a moment so they can help me.
Next speaker for the project.
Yes, I'm in favor of the project. My name is Carla Calderon. My address is 2819 Brandon Street, Dallas. I was representing Mr. Peralta in the process, the application, and also the CPC hearing. And we strongly believe that this property can be enhanced in its fully potential, not as a residence, but as a commercial property, and mostly because it's in its location. It's located in the corner of Hollywood Avenue and West Illinois. So basically, we let them know that it's in a very specific high traffic spot. And for Mr. Peralta, it's very difficult to find somebody, because right now he has it for rental, somebody that wants to live in that very high traffic area. They don't feel safe, like for a regular family. They don't want their kids to be living in a very high traffic avenue like West Illinois is. And he strongly believes that doing the conversion of this property into an office will benefit the community and also the people from the neighborhood association. They would also consider that this was a good idea. They see it as a good project in the future in order to basically fix the area around. So I'm in favor of it.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Tony Zapata, and I am the owner of D&G Builders. So I'm in favor of this project specifically because of the benefit that will bring to the community, being in a key spot in the neighborhood, very visible for, good location when it comes to traffic and the design of this particular project, that the way it will be completed will enhance not only the way the neighborhood looks, it will be of easy access for people around it, for potential clients, for any type of attorney over there. And also, I understand that in doing something like this, we will be meeting or exceeding any of the requirements or regulations from the City of Dallas. I actually believe that this will be a benefit for the community, and being managed by Mr. Peralta with his experience in doing other type of commercial businesses like this one will actually be of a great benefit for everybody out there. The design will be in point with every single requirement, and, you know, so I'm in favor of the project.
Thank you. Next speaker. Are there any individuals that are against the project? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as requested by the applicant with the ordinance and volunteer deed restrictions to return to the council on a future agenda.
I'm sorry, with what? We're going to vote on the deed restrictions later?
Yes, that's what I've been told by staff is the proper way to handle this because CPC denied the case.
Okay, I'm okay with it. I just want to understand what. So it goes back to CPC?
No. But staff can come around and explain the procedure.
Great.
Because Plan Commission recommended denial, we did not receive the deed restrictions from the applicant, so they have to give us deed restrictions that our attorneys execute, or they execute and our attorneys sign, and we get a fee for the filing fee for the county. So we don't have that yet, and our attorneys haven't looked at the deed restrictions. So if you approve it today, once we get the deed restrictions and the attorneys looked at it, then we'll put it back on the agenda, the morning agenda, and you just approve that, and we'll file the deed restrictions, and we'll have an ordinance.
So if someone gets hit by a bus between now and then, they'll have it without the deed restrictions?
It wouldn't be approved until the ordinance and deed restrictions
come back.
So
why don't
we
just take it up later?
You could hold it under advisement and it all come back, or you can approve it with it to come back. You would just close the public hearing if you did it this way.
Close the public hearing and then just take up.
Bring it back.
Go ahead.
How long will we need to get the deed restrictions?
Hopefully they'll give it to us by the end of the week, so we could probably put it on the April.
I'll ask them if they can get the. I'll just ask the applicant. Could you get the deed restrictions ready in the next week? Okay, fantastic. And you could turn them in this week, and then we can just come back with this in 2 weeks. Okay. And I'll withdraw that motion and move to hold the public hearing open and defer this item to the next voting agenda.
Second.
With the deed restrictions.
This motion is second. Ms. Arnold, did you want to speak?
Yes, I just
want
to get clarification on the record. Do I understand that this area is zoned for single family? Neva, could you make sure I'm repeating this correctly for the record? Single family district.
Yes, ma'am.
And they want to modify it so that a lawyer can have that property. This is what we're understanding.
Right. They want to zone it to a neighborhood service and then deed restrict out all but six or seven uses that would then be allowed.
All right. So for the record, what are the benefits of the neighborhood service district? Could you give us a description of what goes on in that?
Sure. So the neighborhood service is the lightest commercial service.
Am I off topic?
I don't think she is.
I'm reading straight from the description.
I think the motion is to defer. She's trying to get information to determine whether she wants to defer it or not. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Who said that anyway?
Ms. Arnold, please go ahead.
I'm just asking. I just need to know who's trying to check me.
So the neighborhood service is the least intensive commercial district. It's intended to be near residential districts. It allows for things like a daycare, a restaurant, an office, a financial institution, those types of uses.
All right. I just needed to know that. Thank you. I'm just trying to do my duties. Thank you very much, Mayor. I appreciate that.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to reconsider the deferral on item 56.
Second. You got a motion and a second? Okay. We don't discuss reconsiderations. Item 56 was the item that Mr. Felder made a motion to defer at the beginning of this afternoon. We deferred it, and Mr. Kleinman is wanting to reconsider that vote. Okay? Let's take a record vote.
Don't get explained myself.
What's that?
Don't get explained
myself. You don't. Someone told me we don't.
he doesn't get to explain why he wants to have a reconsideration? Oh, we can. Oh, okay. Okay. I thought somebody told me once we couldn't. Well, but at least he'll tell why he wants to reconsider. All right, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this item's been deferred in the past on January 23rd. The applicant is asking to put in a recycling buyback center. They don't even need a permit for just doing recycling, and it's just providing a neighborhood service to actually be able to buy materials as opposed to just recycle them on the property. And I just think we ought to give the applicant a fair hearing with regards to the zoning he's requesting, as opposed to just deferring the same item several times in a row. It hadn't really come to my attention that it had already been deferred on January 23rd, and here we are now March 27th, 3 months later, and the applicant just hasn't even had a fair hearing on his request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
Yes. To the extent that, first of all, this is in my district, and the applicant has not fulfilled his responsibilities and his promises to the community. He was supposed to meet with the community with a community plan where he would contribute to the community and give all sorts of things to the community. The consultant, I never met with the consultant. I never saw anything that he did with his promises. And so that's one of the reasons why I deferred it, because I'm waiting for him to get back to me and his consultant to get with me, and the community has not fulfilled his promises to the community. That's why I deferred it. I'm waiting on him to get back with me. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to clarify, the motion was, did we have a date specific, or was it just defer? April 24th. I didn't write that down. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
I will say, League, you know, the applicant was here. It's not fair for them because they left. When they said defer, about four or five people was here, and they left. So I would just have to say wait till the 24th because it's not fair for them to not have a right to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
I understand your concerns, Mr. Atkins, and with regards to Mr. Felder's concerns, those are the same ones expressed in January. And I think if the applicant has not met with the neighborhood and has not met with Mr. Felder, I think those are relevant components to the case that could or should be heard when we hear it. So it is unfortunate that I guess the applicant is gone. I guess if the applicant's not here to speak his case and we're looking at 1 month from now, I'll withdraw my motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Item 57.
Thank you. Agenda item 27 and 57 will be considered collectively. I'll go ahead and read item 27 into the record. Item 27 is an ordinance amending Chapter 20A, Fair Housing of the Dallas City Code by 1, adding Article 2, Mixed Income Housing, Sections 20A-22 through 20A-33, 2, providing a purpose statement, 3, providing the definition of terms, 4, providing for a market value analysis category and dwelling unit verification as a precondition of eligibility for the Mixed Income Housing Program, 5, providing the terms of the Mixed Income Restrictive Covenant, 6, providing for the administration of the Mixed Income Housing Program, including requirements related to eligibility verification, income bands, and affordable rents. 7, providing policies for tenant selection and other written policies. 8, providing the responsibilities of applicants and eligible households. 9, providing that an owner shall not discriminate against holders of housing vouchers. 10, providing for compliance and record keeping for mixed income housing program, including requirements related to quarterly status reports, affirmative fair housing marketing plans, and audits and inspections. 11, providing standard procedures for notifying owners of noncompliance and correcting noncompliance. 12, providing for a mixed income housing development bonus application fee and a mixed income housing development bonus monitoring fee. 13, providing a penalty not to exceed $500. 14, providing a saving clause. 15, providing a severability clause, and 16, providing an effective date. Agenda item 57, it's a public hearing regarding consideration of amending Chapter 51 and 51A of the Dallas Development Code to create regulations for mixed-income housing development bonuses and an ordinance granting the amendments. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on Agenda Item 57?
I'm sorry. It is the wrong motion. We're going to. That's an amendment. Please come on down.
So on Agenda Item 57, is there anyone that likes?
We're having a public hearing first, and then we'll take up Item 57 together.
So we'd like to speak in yes. opposition to the CPC's recommendation of approval on Agenda Item 57.
Please.
Any speakers in favor?
Okay, in favor. Nobody's in favor? Okay. Are you in favor? All right.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
We would like to see this ordinance move forward, but we
okay,
have.
Okay, then you're in favor. So just, but you can, so go ahead and speak and tell
all
us
right,
what
Demetra McCain, Inclusive Communities Project. We are very anxious for this ordinance to move forward. Every day there are new projects that are being built that are getting zoning changes, and they don't have to comply with this potential positive change. So very, very excited. We're happy that staff has worked through stakeholders to make some changes to the original proposal. We're happy that staff and the CPC adopted some of our recommendations from the Inclusive Communities Project. I'm sorry, we're at 3301 Elm Street, Dallas. But there's one thing that's very troubling, and is that we simply are not targeting very low-income families. More specifically, if we can get into the weeds, the definition section of the income limit speaks to you looking at area median income on a metro-wide basis. A metro-wide basis includes seven counties. As you can imagine, as you know, actually from the Mayor's Poverty Task Force, Dallas County itself is one of the lowest income counties when compared to surrounding counties. So when we're looking at a metro-wide area median income based on a seven-county area, that number is very different than looking at the income of the city of Dallas. For instance, the city of Dallas median income is around $51,000 as opposed to the city of Plano, Frisco, Flower Mound, which ranges from $101,000 up to $135,000. So we simply can't use a definition in this work that we're trying to do that is an area metro-wide median income definition. We should be using a citywide income definition because that really is going to affect who this ordinance speaks to, who this ordinance targets. And in the city of Dallas, those who are, let's say, at 30% area median income for the, using the city of Dallas figure, tend to be people of color, the disabled, Hispanics, and blacks. So that's a technical issue, but it's a very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker in favor.
Mayor, council members, my name is Jim Knight. I live at 6823 Preston Shire Lane, Dallas, Texas. I would like to read you a brief statement and make a few comments. I am the chairman of the board of directors of the Real Estate Council and chair of the City of Dallas's Infrastructure Committee for the Housing Policy Task Force. The Real Estate Council supports this ordinance with the adoption of the motion and amendments being offered by Chairman Atkins. We want to specifically thank Chairman Atkins and Councilmember Narvaez for working these past few days to address some of our outstanding issues in this motion. While more changes need to be made in the future, we believe we're definitely headed in the right direction. In 2016, the Real Estate Council Housing Work Group offered a toolkit of options to encourage mixed-income housing. Many of these ideas and tools presented were included in the City of Dallas's Comprehensive Housing Policy adopted in May of 2018. During this process, the Real Estate Council members came to the table with the understanding that the development community plays a critical role in this process of promoting mixed-income communities, and we have remained committed to helping the city accomplish these goals. The purpose of this ordinance is very simple. This is the beginning of a process to allow us to grow and get better. This will allow us to speed the process of developing such communities throughout our city. To accomplish our goal of developing 20,000 additional affordable units over the next 3 years. Now, whether we get to 20,000 or we get to 5,000, that's better than where we are today. This is the beginning of our next process. This ordinance is not meant to solve all of our issues. It's just a small piece of a very complex puzzle. We all know that it's going to be difficult to get this done, and it's not going to be perfect from day one. But working together, we have the opportunity to make the first step to make our community better. We believe that we should all come back together 1 year from now and see what policy impacts this has made. Do we need to make further amendments, modifications, or additions to this to make it happen? Today's proposed ordinance is a motion. Today's proposed ordinance and the motion is a culmination of many months and years of hard work by the Real Estate Council, city staff, community advocates, members of ZOAC, the Planning Commission, and you, our City Council. So we thank you for what you're doing. We are committed to this community. Our community needs our help working together to make this work. And those citizens who aren't as fortunate as many of us need our help to create a policy to allow this to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker. No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor. I guess there are two motions. We are talking about Item 27 and 57. Item 27, I move to approve the code amendment as recommended by the Economic Development House Committee with the following change. Fees are added in the amount of $92 for the pre-application meeting, $625 for the initial activity, and $3,736 for compliance monitor during the affordable period. Number two, discrimination against voucher holder is prohibited with a defense to prosecute when the minimum reserve unit required for the mixed income development bonus are met. On item 57, I move to approve the code amendment as recommended by the CPC and amended from the Economic Development House Committee and the following chain. An urban form setback of 10 feet is required for that portion of the structure above 45 feet in height, MF1A and MF2A multifamily district. The rent affordability period extends to 20 years. A cap of 50% is added to the number of reserve units allowed for households at or below 80% of the area median family income, and allows the cap to be waived for the developer enrolled in a program administered by the Department of Housing and Neighborhood Evaluation. The floor area ratio bonus for the MU23 district are double, and I would like to ask staff to review this program in 1 year.
Second. A motion and second. Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
I want to thank Omar and his commitment for the last two or three days. I mean, he has been a warrior going and trying to herd cats together. It's very difficult to do that, and I think he did a great job of doing that. I want to thank the Texas Real Estate Council coming together. I also want to thank staff and Marine coming together. But the key is this item was going to be deferred. And staff and colleagues, when you have some come through your committee and you want to defer something, it's great when the committee personnel get together and come up with a solution, you know. And also staff of Aneva going back and talk to the council member and get this amendment out to the committee and people who are not on the committee, let them know what's going on. It's unfair that we try to stop development in the city of Dallas. You know, that's our property tax and that's where our sales tax come from. And sometimes that we do not make the correct decision during committee or correct policy, but this is a policy that, hey, it's uncharted water. We don't know what the future is. We don't know what the development is going to be. We just don't know what's going to happen. So that's why I said, Omar, hey, let's look at this, you know, for 1 year. Bring it back. I think it's not going to be the holdback with the developer. It'll give the developer opportunity to see what the market is going to bear. Again, Omar, thank you for your time over the weekend working with me.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I agree very much with Mr. Atkins about the quality of Mr. Narvaez's work on this, but we also thank you, Mr. Atkins, for being so willing to work with people. I also want to extend my appreciation to both Inclusive Communities Project and the Real Estate Council. Among many other stakeholders, these two really have dug in on this, and this thing is tricky. There is a 100% chance that what we pass today won't be perfect. So I think that Mr. Atkins is being very wise to bring it back in a year. We're either going to wind up in a situation where the bonus offered, the density bonus offered in exchange for the affordability isn't attractive enough to developers for them to feel like they're making sufficient money on the project, or we're going to wind up in a situation where we're not getting the affordability benefits that we need in this out of this program and others. And we take very seriously Ms. McCain's statements. And if we are not getting the benefit for the residents of Dallas who need affordable housing, then we will have to come back and try to figure out different incentives. The thing we've learned in this process is nothing gets built until somebody's making money, and the city needs to be a part of that. I am hopeful for my piece that the anti-discrimination against voucher holders provision will be sufficient, along with the city's new master lease program, to significantly benefit people in the 30, 50, and 60 percent AMI income bands. If that doesn't happen, I'm committed to reopening this thing and trying again. This council has spoken with one voice and is very serious about meeting that 20,000 unit affordability target that was set in the comprehensive housing plan. To get back to ICP and the Real Estate Council, there are lots of little details in here where we had to, I mean, if you don't understand how a density bonus applies in a mixed-use zoning category, you're going to wind up with no one building residential in mixed-use districts. And that was an issue we had to really work over. If we get this wrong, we won't get any of this in mixed-use districts, and we'll have to come back. But for their part, the Real Estate Council and ICP both stayed true to their principles. The Real Estate Council is absolutely trying to get development standards that work for developers. And ICP is 100% advocating for economically disadvantaged people in the city. But they both came to the table with reasonable ideas. And when Mr. Narvaez wanted to make sure that we preserve the 20-year affordability period, the Real Estate Council, that's not their first choice. That's not what they really wanted. But guess what? They're here supporting us today because they want to give it a try and see where we get. This makes me very happy. I've been wanting this for quite a long time because I have been the one who's had to negotiate most of these inclusionary deals. And to the extent that developers now have certainty before they start building their capital stacks, that takes pressure off of me. It makes the rules more clear and consistently applicable for each developer, and I think that that's going to be hugely positive, particularly if we can tie it to actual production of affordable units for people who need them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to first start off by thanking Chairman Atkins for working with me and spending a lot of time that we didn't expect to spend, especially over the weekend and during this week, answering all the calls, all the questions, the different things. I did not want this to be delayed any further, and I don't think Mr. Atkins wanted it delayed any further, but that's kind of where we felt we were gonna end up at. But working with everybody, pulling everybody together, having different conversations, I wanna thank Inclusive Communities Project and the Real Estate Council, Mr. Knight and Macy, for working with me and working with the rest of us. This was a very true group effort to make this get here to this day. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to win. Developers are going to win. The folks that need affordable housing are going to win. The city of Dallas is going to win with this. And it may need tweaks in a little while. And I think that we get to, you know, in a year we can look at it. Did it work? Did it not work? What do we need to tweak here and there? And this council will be able to take another stab at it if we need to do any tweaks. For that, Mr. Mayor, I am in full support with the amendments. And again, thank you, Chairman Atkins, for all your help with this. And to everybody else, thank you. And colleagues, please, let's get a unanimous vote on this. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I especially want to thank Chairman Atkins for ushering through not only the housing plan, but then these amendments that actually allow us to provide an incentive, you know, the carrot as opposed to the stick, for developers to provide the affordability that we need in the city of Dallas. I'm really excited about that. We also must commend staff, David, your staff, and TC, your staff, for helping us get to this point. It is rare that I think this council truly embraces such good policymaking, and this is the kind of work I really like to see us doing. So I echo the thanks and the appreciation to all the stakeholders that are in this, and look forward to supporting this. I do have one question and comment. If I got to have a question for staff, on the FAR ratio bonuses, which it says are to be doubled, just for clarification, I want to make sure that is we're just doubling the bonuses, not doubling the underlying FAR.
Yes, sir. Just those in MU3, we're doubling what? Just the bonus.
Just the bonus table, the underlying sub. Okay. Okay, that's great. And the other thing is just a general comment. Again, I'm very supportive of this. I did notice that in here we're going with an urban setback of 10 feet. As some of these buildings really start getting tall, I'm concerned that that's not enough. In our form-based zoning, our setback is 20 feet, and I think that would have been more consistent. Nevertheless, great policy, and looking forward to moving forward. And I'm the best opportunity for us to review this would be if we got more applications than we needed on this. I mean, with that expression from my lips to God's ears, I mean, it would be great. If we gave too much here, we're going to get too many applications. That would actually be a good thing. We'll rein it in. But I'm excited this happens. And I really hope also with, especially on the ME3, this FAR, considerable bonus in the FAR, especially if you put it in a TOD, you can get a lot of FAR, that we'll see more concrete and steel construction, you know, and less stick construction, so that we have not only affordability now, but we have actually high-quality construction going into the years in the future. So let's pass this thing, and I'm excited to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Mayor, thank you. I really appreciate all the hard work that's been done. I want to tip my hat to Macy Davis and the Real Estate Council and my City Plan Commissioner, Tony Shadid, spent a lot of time on this. And he and I interacted and said, no, there's a give and take here, and there's a balancing act here. Yeah, but if we're going to put affordable housing on steroids, that's what we've got to have. If we want to get anything done, we're going to have to incentivize the development community. I agree with many of the comments that Mr. Kleiman just made. The fact that we can come back and revisit this within a year is good. I think the setback form, you know, the 20 feet would not have been unreasonable at all. That's something that could be tweaked if perhaps more bonuses or incentives are given at a later time. But again, it was a balancing act. I don't think everybody got everything they wanted, but we got much of what we wanted and much of what we needed. And this has been going on a lengthy period of time ad nauseum, and I think everybody's ready to move this forward in a way that we can get those incentive bonuses out there. But if we don't do any incentivization, then we're not going to get any building product. That's why we've not been able to achieve the goals and so forth of the affordable housing to this stage or at this present time. So good work, everybody. Staff did a great job. Mr. Atkins, our chair, and our Economic Development Committee, thank you for your contribution. And certainly I know David and then Neva and now Chris, they've worked hard on this as well as David. So thank you all. Good job.
Thank you. I'm sure the only question, if we pass this, that Mr. Broadnecks will have, well, can he put a check mark, you know, in that little objective that he had if we pass this?
Can we do a record vote so you get a check mark?
Yes.
Record vote.
Record vote. Okay. Let's do a record vote. Thank you.
Start voting. 8 have voted. 13 have voted. 14 have voted.
You got it.
14 have voted.
14.
All have voted. With all members voting in favor, the motion, the items pass, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Broadnecks, for completing this.
Agenda item 58 is a public hearing to receive comments on the FY 2019-20 operating capital and grants and trust budgets. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. We need a motion just to close the public hearing.
Thank you. We have motion. The second? Yeah, thank you. Motion second.
Discussion.
Discussion on closing public hearing. Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Wait. I'm sorry. I apologize. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is one of three public hearings we'll be having to discuss the budget and inevitably the tax rate. You will hear me advocating relentlessly to adopt an effective tax rate that puts no new taxes on our citizens. The legislature is probably changing that term once we finally got our head around what the effective tax rate is, and I think many of my colleagues really finally understand that. If their legislation passes, they will now be calling it the no new tax rate. So if you start hearing that term, it's the same thing as the effective tax rate, which is the rate that, in my opinion, we should be passing that does not levy any new taxes on our citizens. Thank you very much.
Since we have this moment, I just want to tell you I am been down to Austin every other week trying to fight for our city's rights to do what is necessary, at the same time being a fiscal conservative, make sure that we're in a place where we're not overburdening our taxpayers with that money. It's a difficult line to walk, but I think the citizens of Dallas elected us to fight and advocate for what they need, and that's what I'm trying to do. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just want to rise to a point of privilege at a couple of things. One of our great constituents, Carol Hickey, has passed away, and we had her funeral today. She was 95 years old.
Can we vote on this and then we'll talk about Mississippi?
I'm sorry.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Now, I didn't want to, please, I just didn't, let's respect Ms. Hickey.
I'm sorry. I was just reflecting on her life when I thought you were just a personal aside. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was a vote. I just want to reiterate, you know, Carol Hickey, a 95-year-old constituent, lived by Samuel High School many years, and she and her daughter interacted with our office and our community many, many times for her funerals today. Also, on a positive note, Evelyn Gamble, my neighbor and church friend and longtime friend, she will turn 100 years old on April the 12th of this year, and just a few days away. So we're real excited about that in District 5. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. We'll take our last item up, 59.
Agenda item 59 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath properties owned by the City of Dallas located near the intersection of Interstate Highway 30 and South Hill Avenue and adjacent street rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to the City of Dallas by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. I'm required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come to the podium and identify yourself?
My name is Lee Beeson, 8430 Township Lane, Dallas. I'm with Half Associates, the environmental consultant on this project.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Move for approval.
A motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to recognize that we have two long-term city employees in the auditor's office that are retiring at the end of this week. I want to start by recognizing Teresa Hampton, who joined the office in 1990 and is currently serves as the interim first assistant city auditor. She previously served as a quality control manager who reviewed, edited, and signed off on work products to ensure compliance with professional standards prior to release. Before joining the City of Dallas, she worked as an auditor with Pricewaterhouse and as an accountant with Trammell Crow Ventures. Ms. Hampton received her MBA from the Pennsylvania State University and her undergraduate degree in accounting from Alabama A&M University, and she's a certified public accountant. She is, after 12 years of service to the city and after 29 years of service, I'm sorry, 12 years of service to the city, she is not 12 years. Ms. Hampton is 29 years of service to the city, and as of Friday, she will be retiring. So thank you, Ms. Hampton. And second, our acting or interim auditor, Ms. Carol Smith, is also retiring at the end of this week. She has a tenure with our auditor's office since March of 2007. She currently serves, as I mentioned, their interim. She is responsible for supervising and managing a staff of approximately 24 auditors who conduct a variety of performance audits and attestation engagements related to the operations of the City of Dallas. Prior to joining the office of the city auditor, Ms. Smith was employed by the Texas State Auditor's Office for 23 years, and she retired there in December of 2006 before coming to Dallas. During her career with the SAO, she performed and managed performance, compliance, and financial audits related to public education, higher education, and pension and investments. As an audit manager and later as one of the three assistant state auditors, she worked and managed various SAO operational areas, including preparing the annual audit risk assessment and the audit work plan, developing the operating budget, and managing the audit scheduling function, the quality control team, the technical writing team, and the information technology team, and the production services team. She has also provided training on various aspects of audits. Ms. Smith has a Bachelor of Business Administration and accounting from Texas State University, and she's a certified public accountant, certified internal auditor, a certified fraud examiner, and a certified in financial forensics. So after 12 years of service, we're going to miss you, Carol. So for both of you, I just want to thank you again for your commitment, for your public service, and enjoy retirement.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure to serve as providing independent audit services, and appreciate the commitment the council has always made to this function. And I'd also like to thank our staff, highly professional group of individuals who are very committed to public service. Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you to the mayor and to the council for the recognition. Thanks to the five former city auditors who I served under, as well as to Ms. Smith for their opportunities that they gave me to develop and become the professional that I am. And also thanks to my former co-workers, as well as to the ones who I currently work with. As a team, that's what we represent for the city auditor's office. It's not an individual accomplishment, but it's a teamwork. And I thank the city for the experiences I've gained.
Thank you. And thank you both for being willing to be on call for Mr. Schwann, who we just nominated today to replace you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, and I hope you both will show up at Ms. Grayson and Ms. Gates and Ms. Arnold's luncheon on Friday, the Women's Leadership Lunch, celebrating Women's Month, and all the folks that help our city. and leadership across our city on Friday, March 29th at 12 o'clock. So let everybody know about that. Thank you so much. With that, we'll take our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. LaCoya London did cancel. However, we have Bill Hoyt here. Mr. Hoyt is a registered speaker who signed up earlier in the meeting. Mr. Hoyt, you'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Please
state your name and address for the record, and you may begin.
Thank you. My name's Bill Hoyt. I live at 4404 Creek Meadow Drive. Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings and the council members. I want to first thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon, and thank you for shoring up the police and fire pension fund. I know it's a little bit old, and it's a couple years that it's been in the, that it's been approved, but it was important work. However, I think an unintended consequence of that effort is the primary reason we are down 600 officers that are patrolling our city. I know DPD and the city leadership is concentrating efforts to hire new officers. That is necessary, and it's obvious. However, I think it is equally important to develop strategies to retain experienced officers to keep them from joining other departments and convincing them to defer retirement. We also need to address the morale of our overextended force. We need to examine promotion opportunities within DPD, and we need to support DPD both financially and by action. Despite endorsement by Chief Hall and activist groups, I think any increase in power to the Dallas Police Citizen Review Board is a huge mistake when our city is experiencing difficulty in retaining experienced officers. I'm a Navy veteran. When the Navy experienced manpower shortages, it would offer our sailors reenlistment bonuses to encourage them to stay Navy. I would suggest offering experienced officers with 10 or more years a bonus of at least $10,000 at the end of each year of service to stay DPD. That temporary incentive could be eliminated when manning is shored up. I estimate that option would cost about $20 million a year to the city. Finally, I and many of the Dallas citizens I have talked to would like to know how city leaders, city manager, is spending more than $70 million in pay and benefits not being spent on the 600 officers no longer patrolling our streets. Thank you for hearing my concerns and recommendations. I trust city and DPD leadership can solve this significant problem that affects every Dallas citizen. We need and deserve a fully manned and functional police department and adequately provides safety and justice to all our citizens and protects our property. Thank you.
Thank you. It is 2:26, and we will adjourn at this time. Thank you. Mm-hmm.